January 20th, FPP meeting.
It was all on the poles and flew out. Then we hunted down.
Right.
And there it was on the poles and flew off. Got the race and came back down and it was all on the poles again.
Okay, why don't we use this time even to go over the change form that we need to do for the transmission?
It's not letting me on, so.
All right,
while they're working on it?
Yeah, that's fine, Scott. You want to lead it since you're there?
Sure. I'll pass this out. There's one change form that I needed to go over for a transmission outage on the 9th, well, the day, February 13th is when they want to do it. And it's at McGarry Dam. It'll impact units or lines 1 and 2, which is units 1 through 4, which run the flow through the ladder. And so there's a period of time when we'll just be on gravity instead of have the pumps available.
When again?
February 13th.
I can't see what would be a problem.
Well, the other ladder's out of service, the Washington ladder.
And so the ladder would this is a dual ladder outage, and it would be for...
Well, 8 hours.
8 hours.
Right, there's a hot spot on...
What time?
Do you have appliances?
I asked them to move it to 10. They'd like to do it at 7 in the morning, but I thought 10 might be better. So...
10 to 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right on the...
See if she can log on as a host.
Right on the edge of, when these fish start moving, but I think it's okay at this point. Yeah.
There shouldn't be a whole lot of fish
and
there.
There will be.
Hey, so this is Doug. Are you on the line?
The other option is doing it in March.
Can you log on as the host? Because evidently I might not have the software. So
what's
if
the reason?
Log on the as
there's
the host,
a
then maybe I can
on
log on as the...
Glowing? Glowing red.
Okay, I'm actually running into the same problem as she asked me to do software and
they do a thermal imaging out.
Okay.
So it could have massive failure.
But I'm also
so what is actually getting hot? Is it
somewhere where the connector?
Okay, well, we'll keep.
So is the
soil,
some of the current is leaking or something and heating it up?
Shorten
it up?
Come loose. Yeah, it would. And then it would melt down and then you'd have a problem.
Right. So the wall-to-wall groups, and you can't see all the head nodding in here. There,
a participant has joined the conference.
It appears we have consensus to go ahead on the 13th for the 10th.
Okay,
fish,
good.
All the
so
fish folks.
Basically, who do we have in the room with consensus that we can put on the form?
Russ Schaefer, Otto Fish and Game.
Hey.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
NOAA Fisheries.
Who was that last one?
NOAA.
Okay. Those Jerry, if I can't hear you now, how's this meeting going to go?
It's going to go poorly for you guys.
We'll move the mic.
I'll say whatever I want. You won't know what I'm saying. That's just the way I want it.
That was my problem yesterday.
Hey, this is Bill. What are you agreeing to?
I'm agreeing to whatever those guys want.
Gosh, they must have you laid out on this.
What's the need of this meeting then?
We'll give them a blanket.
Get our fingerprints on it.
Blanket approval, Bill. Now, we're agreeing to a short-term outage of fish passage, adult passage facilities at McNary Dam, 13th of February for about 8 hours starting at 10 a.m.
Okay, thanks.
And there's an outside chance that the day could move. They're having to do a 72-hour running test on one of the units before this.
Okay.
And so if it gets... They don't
later is worse. I mean, what?
It's like the 14th or 15th. I mean, it's
okay. That's fine.
The same
it's just
week.
What I was
couple
looking.
Of days.
I looked into this for another reason for John Day or whatever the Dallas. That was John Day. Concurrent outage and looking at the Kiefer data. different Kiefer, Kiefer Boggs and others from their 2008 transactions paper. They showed that. Passage in the lower Columbia, including these dams, doesn't really get going until about mid-February, and then it starts to take off pretty dramatically for overwintering summer steelhead. So
that's why we want to get this done now.
That's the best data we have. So up to mid-February, it looks like it's not that different from January.
This is Carl. To make sure I understand it right, it's okay, but we need to move it from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Go ahead and download the software.
Carl, that was discussed with Tim yesterday.
I know. I had an inquiry out to Tim for some of the details, and I haven't heard back from him. So
I have a draft of the coordination form, and I'll make sure you're on the list, and we'll send it out to people. And who was there and had consensus, I'll fill in the names that I got. So I'll try to send that out later today.
Okay, great, thanks.
So you probably have to do it through 8.
Let's try to get her done.
Jeez, if this is all that's going to be here, we all ought to
spread out.
We're working on it.
Get closer together.
Yeah, depends on how long the power cords are.
Or sit all around the phone.
Yeah.
I'm sure that at some point we'll have Tom, since he has a few things floating into the room, at least recently.
Oh, he'll be here. Yeah.
That's true. It's way early for Tom time.
I know it's early.
We've got another hour or so.
If he gets here at his usual time, he'll at least be here for one that I know he wants to talk about.
Then why'd you get rid of the crazy clock?
It's gone. I was there yesterday.
Someone lifted it.
Perpetual 9 o'clock.
We have the web meeting.
Step it up over Department of the Interior.
Apparently, the host is having a hard time getting used. What happened to me is it kicked me off right about 9, and I had to re-log in.
Okay, well, I'm in as the host.
Okay, we might even have to coordinate Fish and Wildlife Service more often.
Now it's going to
be our boss.
Okay, I just quit.
What happened?
I'm done.
Does everybody have all the right information?
Don't you know that we're part of Interior now? We're your senior agency?
Cool.
I've got the meeting number.
We would be. We would be the largest.
Are they talking again about merging?
Is your Obama's plan? Oh yeah. When big time?
Yeah,
when
you got for the
code.
Friday.
Really?
Last Friday?
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't hear a thing.
The Fish and Wildlife Service is bigger than
they do keep you
shelled.
Well, you know, it's.
What's that?
Fish and Wildlife Service is bigger than NIMS.
No, I said in there that NOAA. Bigger than NIMS, maybe, but NOAA would be the largest agency.
There's 2 codes and then your email address and name.
That'd be it. Big kahunas.
And then so we all get to wear the same kind of uniforms you guys do, huh?
Or you guys do. I like the, you guys get the fancy stuff. We don't get any
fancy. I still
uniform.
Have all those uniforms.
You get fancy duds. I'm thinking that's the only advantage.
Well, are we becoming part of NOAA, or is NOAA becoming part of us?
No, we're becoming part of Interior.
You know my brother.
Not Fish and Wildlife Service. Commerce would go away. We would be under Interior.
Well, Commerce would still be there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but they'd be doing other things. We would be a sister agency of Fish and Wildlife Service, BLM,
BLR, keep all resource agencies in one.
That's what Obama thinks there's a big overlap.
We have technical issues
that you guys have, Sam.
You're going to let us know when you're ready, is that it?
You should be able to see my desktop.
Wrong. But
yeah, we don't.
And they're trying to tell him that he's not quite.
Oh, I've got him.
Overlap.
Oh, Tammy.
You got it?
Got Heavens, got it at his house. Come on, Doug. You're letting have one beat you on the computer.
Ooh. That is really a low blow. No offense, Bill.
As you see the laptop thrown across the room.
And you might get Trevor Conner to come down there and help you. He went through this thing yesterday for like.
It's showing a different error message than it showed yesterday.
Let me download this. So we have these two downloads, and it's I think ACID has to download it because this will give
core computer.
The terrorist top secret information. Mm.
Yeah, I feel like I have to do it on my personal computer because of too many restrictions on it.
So many restrictions you can't do.
Do you have any thoughts?
Well, you can all see my document, and do you all have a printed copy?
I do not.
I have one here if you want to share it.
We can
do this.
I meant to be agenda.
What? I have it, the agenda.
Oh my god, you put it in a binder, it's that big.
Or is that the whole Fish Passage plan?
I have a copy electronically.
There you get switched computers, I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. If you would like this up there, I have that on my desktop.
Yes, put that
so
up
I can
there.
Just put that up there. That
you'll just have to.
Okay.
So who's going to run the.
No, buffing your nails today, like I said.
No.
It's going to just.
Poor Doug.
Poor Doug is getting it from both.
Who's going to run the meeting today? Don't you for Bill and others that are out there.
So, Bill, you can see my desktop.
Hey, Russ, Paul said he'd come down for the low mow discussion.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we just got to call him.
And what do you see on your computer?
I see the draft minutes, and now I see the finalized results from the meeting kind of halfway down the page.
Okay.
And so we look like we're ready to start moving through the form.
So are you running the go-to?
I am.
Any way you can make that a little bit larger there, Greg?
Okay.
So I'm going to get to the
fairly
first
readable.
Change form. as it appeared in the agenda.
So we're going McNary first?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, Lisa, what do you see?
So this looks like the first floor, McNary, four major freeways.
Yes, it is. So I will be taking notes and having you guys all see what we're talking about all at the same time, maybe.
Okay, well, you know, I heard Carl say he was on the phone.
This change form 12 coming for McNary number 2 was proposed by the project. Under a new guideline that they actually issued this year, remove the debris. In addition to this, to the management plan is there in red. They were very successful at doing debris removal this year.
Wonder how the word can be spilled.
Yeah, that's my comment, is that it didn't make any sense to me when I read the changes.
Eliminate the word B.
Yeah, operators can spell it, yeah.
Yeah, this Carl, that looks pretty a typo, I just saw that.
Yeah. No, that's what they want to do, is pull it over to the spillway and spill it instead of pulling it to the shore.
So what's the spill, what's the debris process?
Well,
John
still needs some more editing, though.
It does. Yeah, this one seems to, you guys need to read through this one again and make sure that it reads correctly all the way through. I mean, the intent is okay, it's just that the language is kind of screwy.
Well, how, even with the intent, though, how does that work with John Day? Because, you know, they had the gate wall issue last year, so now they're going to have this huge slug of debris. And are they going to be inspecting their gate walls on a regular basis? It seems like it makes sense if they had some kind of regular scheduled gate wall inspection or coordination, at least, with this, so they know what's coming down the pipeline. Yeah. If it's coming down on a weekend, it'd be a huge issue.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, you want to cover what the standard process during the fish passing season is for inspecting gate wells? It's daily, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, each gate well is usually inspected before about 7 o'clock in the morning.
So what happened at John Day last year, then? How did that happen? Did we ever hear? Remember the gate well debris issue where it plugged up and you were on that too? We had a coordination forum.
Stuff runs together. I don't remember.
There was some investigation or something.
Where it plugged the trash racks and we killed fish?
Right.
We had our own debris issue at the dairy, and that's what this is meant to address.
Yeah, that was...
You probably recall in the late season that we had to shut down the JFF for a number of days.
That debris is on day.
It works through the mechanism for removal.
From the trash rack. You guys had like some enormous amount of head or something built up on one of them, I heard, like 6 feet
ahead
or something.
And there was missing bars, so debris got in and then
right.
Well, there needs to be coordination between Walla Walla, between McNary and John Day.
Yeah, that's what popped in my head.
Right.
It's like, if they're doing this.
It's just,
and,
you know, if you're going to dump a whole bunch of debris down the river, that the guys downstream need to know what's coming at them. And they need to be ready for it.
Yeah, John Day is about 80 miles downstream from McNary.
76.
Outside of the mine.
And to disperse and wind up on the shore and everything else. We can let them know, but it'll be a long time before it gets there.
I guess that depends on what kind of river flows you had.
What we're asking for is just for you guys to coordinate.
Yeah, not a problem.
So do you want that written in here, or you just want a verbal?
We have no objection to putting it in the document, and McNary has no objection.
So, I mean, at the end, we can just put coordinate this off of John Day project?
Right. That's appropriate.
Yeah, just make sure that the project, Miro.
I got it.
That Miro knows what's coming at him, so Chief of Fisheries at that project needs to be notified of potential debris problems.
No surprises.
Fisheries and operator, or just fisheries?
And fisheries, yeah, or operators too. I don't know, maintenance, I guess. That's up to you guys.
Control room in.
That's
long as it's effective.
Let the project know, that's all.
And do we want to write this so that we can pull it to the spillway or to the shore?
Exactly, yeah. It worked really, really well this last year. And if it's a lot less work than trying to get it out. Getting it out on the shore is a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, Carl,
Go ahead. I was just going to say that, you know, just to leave our options open, I would write this so that we can pull it to the spillway, so we can spill it, or to the shore and remove it.
Right.
So that we have options.
That's certainly appropriate.
Okay.
There are advantages and disadvantages of spilling it. The big advantage is that you keep the large wood that you bring in the river. The disadvantage is you pass on stuff like tires and stuff like that that you really don't want in the river.
Right. No, I understand. I just wanted to leave our options flexible.
So do you want to take a shot at rewriting this thing now, or?
Let me add something at the end of that sentence that says something like, additionally, we leave open the option of moving debris to the shore for removal.
Well,
you need to add the
comment. Well, it kind of already says that.
Put this back in.
You know, the chain with the chain is physically encircling the debris with log booms and pulling it to the spillway.
Here's the
oar. Boats for operators can spill it. Then we should you could put some oars. Well, this is an oar at the end of the sentence, so the oar implies all the way through the entire sentence. It already says you can.
Carl?
You don't have to put it down the spillway. You can take it to shore.
Carl, could you take a shot at rewriting that one sometime during the morning and then just running it by us?
Sure. How could I? I haven't been able to get on this login web meeting.
You can just read it to us. Just write up. Right now, it's kind of goofy language. Just rewrite it and then run it by us. That way we can be done with it today and not have to have a back and forth.
Tim, can you get your emails?
Sounds great.
Yeah,
I'll get on
email.
It.
Okay, thanks.
Just tell them, send Tammy an email.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're ready to move to the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, so Carl, again, you can post this.
Boss.
Going into emergency bypass for increased conditions.
Right, we discussed this. This is just a rewrite of trying to get the English straightened out. I think Ken Fone has suggested dropping the part under the definition of cold weather where it says 12 hours or more. His point was that, you know, the forecast is for 24 hours, so just drop the words that say 12 hours or more.
Carl,
are you there, Ken?
Yes, I am. Yeah. The reasoning is because it says maximum temperature in the text, and the maximum temperature below 32, and so if that's the maximum temperature for the day, you know it's going to be for the whole day, so you really don't need the 24-hour in there, the 12-hour thing in there.
Yeah, this change is basically approved at the November meeting or something like that.
Yeah, we're okay. It's just that this is Gary, my one concern is that we still don't have a good idea or any idea what survival is through the route for adults. So, you know, that's something that needs to be looked at. I'm not saying we change the operation or the timing of the operation. I am saying, though, that we need to do the due diligence of checking the survival through this route before we just.
Well, they are repeating the adult fallback surveys this year.
Right, but that's not survival.
Plus we have the acoustic tank study for all the juveniles and everything. So.
I know.
It's for you as you start your SRWG process this year to make sure it stays on so that the research folks could investigate that.
Yeah, it was going to happen this year, then it got postponed by the Corps. What we're saying is it needs to get done. I don't want to just let this slide away.
I
so it's sort of a caveat, you know, that we still need to check the survival through the route.
Right.
And also, is the Corps going to pursue looking for a new location for that valve? I understand the valve's kind of hard to get to.
Yes, we are working on that. In fact, I learned about a volunteer engineer that I'm hoping we can get working on it because we've been a little short-staffed here. They're also hiring a new engineer.
Okay.
Okay, so just a...
All right, okay, so yeah. Let's keep moving. Next one, John Bailey has added this, and I'll let him discuss that again. I think what he had here is something that was already within the plan of the other bands, and so he's now included in both for McNary and Little Goose. So I don't know if anybody has any issues with this.
Oh, I thought he was going to say something. I do have an issue with it. I think that this one will have a negative effect on steelhead survival, most definitely. It's really a bad time of the year to take ESBSs out of service, because if you look at the Wagner report from, 93, 94, we had a lot of steelhead passing through that system in November, early December timeframe. So pulling those screens out early, that puts them through the turbine units. It's one thing to just change the direction of the bypass. I don't have a problem with that. But when you basically take the bypass out of service, then you're putting all those fish through the turbines. And I know that's part of our study that we're doing now, but we still have to look at the data that we have from years past too, and that was a lot of fish going through there. So I think we really need to think hard about taking these things out of service.
Until we have another route.
Yeah, until we have another route, which I think would be.
I'm pulling in on these screens, Gary.
What's that, Greg? Sorry.
Need to do some O&M on those things.
Just get closer to the mic.
Yeah, well, your comment, Greg, will take place after December 15th. Like, what I'm hearing is a lot of reluctance to support this because of the passage that we still have ongoing, that this would kind of caveat and say, oh, it's okay to take the screens out.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the 15th. I mean, I think that's a decision that we made a long time ago. It still kills fish. We have fallback all through the winter, but... We also, I recognize, have to get those screens maintained, but we long ago agreed that would occur on the 15th of December.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from you is a disagreement from NOAA Fisheries in terms of comments from others. Disagree with addition of this to the fish passage plan?
Anybody else?
Yes, Tom Lors. Until we have another route there, this is the primary route for fallbacks. So until we come up with a better way of dealing with fallbacks, you're pretty much stuck right now.
Well, I don't have a problem with having a further discussion through O&M on this, but you just have to realize that what you're doing will kill fish, and it kills adults. And you can say maybe, but I think it does. What I need to hear about is what are we breaking? What's the real problem for the project?
That's what's not really described in here.
I mean, these things are way down in the water, so they're not going to freeze.
Yeah, this was kind of a blanket. We saw it with other places and thought, well...
Right. I understand. And at other places, we don't have the fallback issues that we do at McNary, so...
Or we have routes. We have options.
Other routes, right. So I'm only talking about McNary when I'm talking here.
Yep, that's fine. So what I'm hearing is the record of final action actually will be that we don't make a disposition this year.
Okay, like I said, I'm open to talking about it through the season.
We have some issues that we want to bring to FPOM to further discuss it as the year goes on. We do not have anything that prompted us specifically at McNary to put this in, so we did not have anything that I'm aware of, unless Carl wants to chime in, that broke due to cold weather related to PSVS.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns here. we've just been started taking ours out December 15th. Haven't had any reason to change it at this point.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
If you guys need more time to work on ESBSs, there's some things you could do, like pick some units and just say if you don't think you're going to use them, take them out of those, and then those would be the last on, first off type things. And we could talk about that if you need some extra time, but... I don't think I'm right now comfortable to give you some blanket. Okie dokie, take them out early.
Okay. That's reasonable. That's certainly something that we can bring to FPOM
right.
In that situation.
Yeah.
Okay. This is probably the first, and there may be several as we go through Walla Walla where we found incidences like this that were inconsistent, and we just questioned whether they should be more consistent. And it's fine if we have good rationale not to.
Okay.
I think the next one, Ryan's also in the room here. Basically, he talked about urban unit priority.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a brief, Ryan? This is a follow-up to some of the modeling that took place at Verdict during 2011?
So, primary intent is to add more flow to the center of the river instead of supporting the flow on the south shore. With the primary intent of that flow originally was for giving us good egress for the old outfall. So now that we have the new outfall, we have improved flexibility for the project. So I'd like to move as many units as I can over to the north side of the powerhouse and maintain a single unit on the south shore for adult attraction.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm okay with that. That makes sense.
Yep.
No problem.
So you have the one for adult traction. We're good.
What's your unit priority?
It's going to be, well, one and then go to the other end and go back down.
One, then 14, 13, 12.
So I don't know if that affects you guys. But as far as for fish, I think that's the best way to go. It kind of takes away the need to worry about the summer operation, too, because kind of automatically setting up what we want for summer operation, except for unit one.
Yeah, it solves some of our warm water problems. This is Carl. Some of our warm water problems. And also the control room actually likes this plan, too. It actually makes their operation simpler.
Okay.
Okay, so is there anybody that has a problem? I haven't heard anybody say they do.
I think we're okay with it, Ann.
Okay.
Approved.
So the next one looks like Tom introduced, and that's McNary Winter Maintenance.
Ah.
I sent out a comment back to this as a due-out from the November FPOM. And Carl had provided me some information. I mean, and let me just go back through that. Essentially, we anticipate having a functional trash rig for 2012 sometime here in early February. By the end of 2012, we should have a new, upgraded, permanent rig that will meet our needs. The needs for what we have in 2012 will be compromised because although we've had to buy a number of emergency parts and rebuild our existing rake, it is still insufficient for the loads that we generally have been using it for in previous years. And so it will take more labor and more time to effectively clean trash racks in 2012. However, by 2013, we should be good to go, better than we have been in recent years. So our ability to rake trash during January did not exist, but we anticipate that to be forthcoming in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
That's great for future years. So what's the plan for 12?
Carl Dugger came up with a counter proposal on this thing. Do you have that in front of you, Carl?
I actually don't have it in front of me right now. I can dig it up. But the thing is, I have since learned. Last year we had a situation. It was almost a perfect storm where we got a lot of tumbleweeds in January, late January, at the same time we had real heavy flows, real heavy muddy flows. And the muddy flows always bring out the juvenile lamprey, and it looks like they love to hide in the tumbleweeds, and when the tumbleweeds get sucked down, it was just full of lamprey. But we had been measuring the differentials almost on a daily basis anyway, because you know we were anticipating problems, and so it showed up in the differentials right off the bat. So at the time, I was questioning the need to even do this raking, although I have since learned that that it doesn't always show up on the differentials. It did for us, and that's the only experience I've ever had. But I understand it does not always show up on the differentials, so it might be worthwhile doing this. I'm not sure doing it in December is really necessary because you hardly ever get tumbleweeds moving much that time of year, but certainly mid to late January I think is could very well be appropriate. I haven't been here long enough to witness that situation. From what I've seen, the differentials just went out of sight. I mean, like 7, 8, 9 feet, 4 feet. when we start having problems, and so that's why we start dipping.
So, Tom, you said inspect or rake up to four. What do you have in mind?
I think after the middle of January, it's probably appropriate.
That's why I said prior to the end of January. I didn't really care when you got it done. I said prior to the end of January, either inspect or rake four units.
January 15 is what you put in
well,
there.
January 15.
I think any time after January 15th is probably appropriate to dip it down and find out what we have. You know, if it's a situation where we don't find that situation at McNary, we can always change the fish passage plan later on to reflect that. But I think the more important thing is to keep checking the differentials on a frequent basis, probably at least three times a week.
Well, I'm hoping you're doing that already.
And well, we are, yeah.
That you should, that all I'm saying is sometimes you don't get enough on there. Tumbleweed sometimes will not kick off. You have to get a lot of tumbleweeds to kick it off, but you don't need a lot of tumbleweeds to kill a lot of lamprey. So
yeah.
All we're saying is go in there. If you guys can do a video inspection with an ROV, if you can do that, great. If the only way you can do it right now is through a quick rake of pick your favorite couple units because you're obviously going to
run
want to do
time.
Some, yeah.
High runtime units or
yep.
High debris units.
That's what I prioritize. I said pick units that are known debris issues,
yeah.
Ones that have long runtime, and then also try to pick at least one on another part of the dam because you might have something that has debris left over that just hasn't been run and but it's there. So
you're hard to hear, Tom.
I will yell even more so into the mic then.
I got it.
Wow, my wife's never said I'm hard to hear.
Jeez.
You know, Carl did reply back saying, you know, to me, saying that during times of high debris flows and or high debris loads, he will measure four-bay gate well differentials at least three times a week.
Well, I don't know if you're, I don't know if you're going to pick it up in the gate wells, because this is more of a trash rack.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the gate wells is going to be the best methodology for that.
Draw down against the four bay is what it would be.
Yeah, that's what you want to be checking.
Yeah, not against the four bay, but you're measuring the gate well, aren't you, for a four bay?
Yeah. When you take the gate well measure, compare it with the four way. The only thing, four bay. The only difference, the only thing stand between the gate well and the four bay is basically
the trash rack.
The trash rack.
Yeah.
But you know that time of year.
That's the right measurement.
Yeah.
That's the right differential, right?
Yeah. It'll give you the. It'll tell you how the trash rack is doing, unless you have a situation where the water just flowing right through the tumbleweed.
Well, and that's what happens a lot with tumbleweeds.
But when it happened last year, the differentials, we were measuring them several times a week, almost every day, because we knew there were problems coming down the river, and the differentials just shot out of sight almost immediately. It was really incredible.
Had a lot of wind.
And so we dipped them, and they came up full of lamprey. The ones down at the bottom did. The ones at the top did not have lamprey in them. It was when you started getting down deep that we started finding the lamprey.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I think the burden just relies on you, Carl, when there's an event and you're watching those numbers to try to, as soon as you can, get the project engaged in that activity.
Well, it kind of shook everybody up last year, but the tumbleweeds are no secret. You can see them coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can see them from miles away.
Well, it's kind of like an iceberg, isn't it, Carl? You see a little bit on top, but there's a whole lot more underneath.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. But you see them. You can see them coming. We saw a lot of them last year. That's why we started checking everything.
Yeah, this is just, I'm just trying to get that
one
in the plan.
Is that if you start raking in the wintertime, that means other maintenance won't get done. You know, in McNary, we have 42 fish screens that need maintenance.
Right, yeah, well, you know, you're talking four racks here. It's not that big a deal, but, you know, just for checking them. But, yeah, it throws a big burden on the project, but what are you going to do? You can't run turbines since trash racks are plugged up anyway.
Right, no, I think we have...
You got to rake them.
If we notice there's a differential, we've got to prioritize trying to get the rake out there as soon as we can. You know, we have the offset now for the last 3 years where we have... couple extra weeks to get the maintenance on the streams done because we're not putting them down until later for lamprey, so I think we're covered there adequately. I mean,
it's a good concern, but
we don't want to have repeated what happened last year either, and, you know, the only other thing that could be done is that if someone wanted to, you know, develop a technology, you know, that provided this project where they could put something down out there that just ran down the trash rack, you know, to visualize better. But, you know, because of the angle of the trash rack, it's not something that you can flip a camera down.
Yeah, I'm not sure that what happened last year was a rare event. Bobby's been here for 20 years, and it hadn't happened in the 20 years he was here. None of the other old-timers recall that happening. So it was kind of a perfect storm. But the thing is, even if we knew it was coming last year, I'm not sure it was preventable. I think the only way you could possibly prevent it is, you know, possibly shutting down turbines or something. But when the Lamprey are using that stuff for cover, which we suspect they are, and it goes down, they're going to go with it regardless.
Well, it gets back to how soon can you get to it. You know,
we don't have to swim, we just...
Right, yeah.
Lamprey transport vehicles.
I'm getting like that.
Can you keep that? I got to draw a picture.
Can we move on?
Put it in a truck.
Were there any... Are we taking out the 15th and just saying prior to the end of January, or are we leaving that in?
I can be fine with
going down the street.
Lamprey. 2012, and I think we're okay with whichever, what are you hearing in the room? I heard kind of it go both ways, and I think in the future we should be prepared to implement this.
So for 2012, you can't implement, so we're just going to hope we don't have another event. And then in 2013, you're going to implement? Is that what you're saying? What's the takeaway here?
The only thing we can do for January 2012 is the guillotine, which largely goes down the trash racks and pushes the debris to the floor of the river.
I'm going to keep the lamprey out of sight.
It does not drop any debris to the trash rack and pushes it to the bottom of the river.
Now, the auxiliary host, which would run either one of them, either the guillotine or the bucket's not a problem. They're repairing that, and it should be ready to go. But the auxiliary host probably won't be ready to the middle of February this year. February 16th is the scheduled in-service date. They've had to rebuild the whole thing.
So no hoist for the rake until...
Until February 16th. So we're just praying that nothing happens in the meantime. If it does, I'm not sure what we're going to do. Probably going to shut down turbines.
Nothing like a little divine intervention, Hope.
But as far as the change form, it's approved for the 2012 FPP. Is that correct?
Yeah, with the weather we're having, I would keep an eye out for this situation to occur.
Yeah. Is that the dry weather or the
wet
weather?
Well, I was over...
Well, the wind weather, yeah.
When I was, yeah, exactly. I was over up in north, all the way up in the Canadian border, eastern Washington.
The big fear
and there was
the north or east winds.
Right. There was a lot of tumbleweeds moving
that's
around.
That's what we're really sweating right now because we don't have... There's nothing we can do. We're really...
But that was right on the Columbia River the whole way on 97, and there was tumbleweeds. It was an interesting drive.
It's all frozen right now.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
It's a scary time of year.
Ice storm is good, yeah. Might crush them
for the next couple of hours.
But there's piles of them up there.
Jeez. Keep an eye on it and contact us as soon as possible if something starts to show up.
Yeah, we will. This is not good.
Yep.
So I'm still confused. Is this going in this year or not?
Yes, it'll go in. They just may not. They can't implement anything until around the 15th of February.
Well, they don't.
When's the 2012 right now?
What year do you think this?
When's this going to be published, Mark?
March.
Oh, good.
Sounds good. It's a living document, and we're adapting things to it.
I can hear it breathing.
Keep moving.
Rapidly.
Please.
Knights Harbor, South Shore, Auxiliary Water Supply. Proposed by the project, just a wording change.
That's all it is, just a wording change. Fluctuating water supply. You know, that's what they use right now. Looks okay to me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
No, just head nodding in the room.
Okay.
All right.
Tom wanted to clarify he was just nodding off, not nodding in agreement.
Thank you very much. That helps us with the unvisual side here. Emergency debris spill. Back in about July last year, you requested Dykstra and myself to come up with a... We were talking about the log that was stuck in the throat of the RSW at Lord Grant. We're talking about getting immediate move onto that log or debris removal at Lord Grant without immediate FPOM and regional clearance. Jump right on it, just like we do with any orifice that's got a lug stuck on it, and then we then form FPOM in the region. Basically, the addition to FPP would be that section below there, 5.1.1, is what was requested, and that we do that emergency spill or special spill, as it shows there. That's the wording that requested me to come up with. To get immediate action on removing any log or debris in front of the RSW.
Seems like a good idea.
It's a good idea. It's a great idea. That we can go right straight and do it. We just wanted it right.
Sure.
That's the kind of thing, Greg, you got to just deal with right away. Right.
Yes, and I've got it down now where it's been added to... each project that's got an RSW or GSW or Little Goose's ornament also.
That's the potential for harming the surface route or harming all the fish that are going through there that are hitting that log or debris. So I think the sooner that you can get there and do that, the better.
It's immediate action. It just clears it up with the project. They don't have to call me up or Ann up and say, can we do this?
Does this apply at John Day as well?
This is just for Ice River.
Well, we need to write it for all of
them. No, they were talking about writing it for all the dams.
I thought we did this last year.
Was it just granite?
So
that's what a problem
Portland
was.
District doesn't have quite the same issues with doing debris spills.
I thought that was what they were saying.
So, Greg, this is Doug. Could you clarify then? So it sounds like this is for Ice Harbor. For Still Bay of Mirrors, is this going to be expanded?
You'll see also a change form for the other
Lower Snake
projects.
Yeah. And McNary?
It should be at any RSW, any surface route. If you see a debris problem, get rid of it.
It makes sense to just walk through that. So, Greg, that seems like a place. Why don't we say that it will be all and we'll add one for McNary?
Then we have
both. Let's add one for McNary. If everybody agrees to that.
Yeah. Head nodding.
John Day as well.
I like the head nod.
Yeah, this is Carl. I was busy writing, so I wasn't paying real attention until you mentioned McNary. What exactly is
the ability for the project when debris was brought in PSW to just go in there and take care of it rather than having to ask for permission and us go through a formal coordination process?
I like a great idea.
Hey, Carl, are you using a microphone?
Negative, just a speakerphone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the difference between your voice and Ann's is phenomenal.
I just have a big mouth.
No,
we can't hear you. We can hear Carl much better.
Carl comes through.
Carl
four
sends
by
us
four.
Out of the room every time.
Well, I'll speak more softly then. I'm used to yelling at speakerphones.
Okay, or push it further away from you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, let's move on. The next one is Ice Harbor Turbine Unit Operation. It's the change that was proposed by David Benner. We had some comments back from the project, and basically the Corps does not agree with this because right now we would be unable to do that. Unit 6 transformer has not made it to the site. Until that time, we're unable to facilitate sort of any changes, if you will.
You can see in the flyback that the TW6 will be available later on this year. We can rediscuss this situation at a later FPOM.
Just recently later, yeah.
Well, could we...
What's the intent of the...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
change the priority back to the old priority, 6 being, I think, the third on, mm-hmm. rather than the last on.
Okay.
If once that's fixed, the transformer, but I was under the impression it was going to be fixed in 2011.
It was scheduled, but it's got held up overseas.
Yep, and that's what I didn't know.
That's why you should buy American.
Yeah, then they get stuck in the snow.
You change the low bid regulation, and they can do that.
Okay, keep going, Dave.
So once that is fixed, then you can switch the priority back.
Well, let's talk about it then. We'll see what else goes wrong between now and then.
Okay.
Hopefully nothing.
Okay, so this one will just be on tap for once we are able to get that replaced.
Right. So, well, one, this is Russ. If it's a good idea to switch this pattern once we get it in operation, should we, if it's a good idea, can we go ahead and just approve it and just put in there conditional once we have Turbine 6 back in operation and can do it?
I don't trust that by the time we get there that everything will be the same transmission-wise. Ice Harbor is one of the more complicated places. We've had years and years and years of all kinds of problems. So I'd wait till we get it in place, run the transformer, and see if it acts like they think it will. Every time we've done something there, it hasn't done what they thought it was going to do. So I'd rather revisit it once we have some experience with the configuration as it's redone.
Walla Walla agrees with that, what Scott said, too.
Okay. Well, I think this is a good idea, but yeah, I can see where it might cause confusion if you put it in.
No,
I
can't do it.
Yeah, it probably won't be done until the end of this
year. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be stuck in the FPP here.
Yeah, you don't want the operator to pick it up and do it when he really shouldn't be and can't.
Right.
So that is another good point.
Well, let's wait for a new change form on this one.
Okay.
We'll just wait till the work's done.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Tammy and her electronic magic can just carry this over. For next
year. Just attach the agenda.
It will be the first change form for 2013.
There you go.
What we could have say in the fit last year is that it was going to be done in 2011, so we could at least change that.
2012. There you go. It's all set to go.
We made a good
progress. And the special operation.
The next one here, 004, was proposed by Scott, and it was approved by FPOM in June 2011.
That was okay.
Okay, so
this one's no argument. It was approved by FPOM in 2011.
Quick, this is all.
Now, of course, the book does not have this in it. That's the reason why this thing was submitted.
Okay. Then we're keep moving. Then the next one is going to be Lower Monumental Dam operations.
Hey, Ann.
Yeah.
This is Bill. I wanted to get Paul Wagner in the room for this low-mo spill operations discussion.
Okay, you want to go get him?
Yeah, we'll get him.
I'll go upstairs.
Okay.
I'm not in that building.
Oh, you're not?
Bill, we're
Trevor's heading up there.
We're right getting now. Him.
I'm in Corvallis, so somebody there, Gary or Trevor, could go get Paul.
On the way, Bill. Being done.
We're sending your young Lockie to take care of it.
So can we do the flow meter?
Thank you very much.
That must be Trevor.
I realized I had a lackey.
It's Bill's shadow.
Can we get maybe one of Little Goose? We got this room for up until noon, and that's it.
Yeah.
Sure. Really? On to Little Goose, the first one. Sure.
While
Paul comes to, until Paul comes down.
Yeah, we can do that.
Little Goose. LGS-1, can you get to that one, please, Danny?
We got lost.
The next
boss is here now. For little boss.
Yes,
the big boss.
So, yes.
Which one is this?
He's called one point.
Yeah.
You hire good people.
Okay, I have Little Goose up.
You have
Goose up? I'm lost.
Is Lomo next?
Is going?
We're skipping over until Paul Wagner comes down to talk about Lomo right now. Doug's wondering if we could get into the low-mo navigation one.
Well, I'm just following the order, Greg, of the agenda. Did I miss something?
Well,
he just wanted to jump all the way to Goose.
Okay,
I think
okay.
We want to keep the meeting moving forward for Paul, but whichever one we go to next.
She's already at Little
Goose.
Okay. Good
Little
Goose.
Page 32.
Definitely. 32.
Little Goose.
I got page 30.
GS-001.
Okay, too late. Paul's here.
Oh, well, I have been typing. So. Never mind. We're back up to Loma.
Thank you.
We messed around just long enough.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
TNT's here.
Okay.
So we have Paul Wagner and Bernard is in the room as well. Bernie.
You didn't bring the pony keg.
I'm disappointed. The pony keg? I'm getting it.
Pony keg from
it is Friday.
That and the pizza.
So.
Good morning.
Okay, go ahead. We're ready. Hello,
Lomo.
Okay, we'll go ahead. We were expected to have Ryan and Steve. They were here a minute ago and disappeared.
Good to know. So it's approved. Good to know. Thanks.
I appreciate the discussion here. You know, I think. The first one was that this under Lomo is just that the correct spill tables have not in the past been in the fish passage plan, and we will be remedying that this year to have the correct spill tables. So that's the very first one. That's Lomo 002 spill table.
I don't work for Walla Walla.
So the project had the correct spill tables, I'm assuming.
Yes. You know, I don't know if James is here. He may want to give you a little background on that.
So in 2008, we installed real-time telemetry on the spillways that's reported through GDAX. And shortly after that coming online, the project was making water. Our flow through the plant was more than what was coming out of Goose and coming out of Ice Harbor.
Big water.
So we ended up going down and doing an inspection on when the, you know, take the gate to stop one, take the physical measurement, take the gate to stop two, physical measurement, etc., and found that the spill tables were actually off dating back for many, many years.
Like one of them.
So in 2009, we recalculated the flow going through the spillway gates and generated a set of tables, hence the 2009 tables that we can't ever seem to get into the passage plan. So since 2009 to current, every year we've had a change form to get the right tables in so that we are reporting correctly.
This is more oversight kind of taken care of. We have been using these tables. It just hasn't been correctly reported previously in the passage plan.
So, James, what changed was what you found, how much volume a one stop entailed?
Yes. The original tables assumed that, you know, like the first stop was... the flow was off, so we used the formulas based off of physical measurements of the openings and based on the stop scenario of the cams and all that was actually, you know, physically being used.
Yeah, okay.
This was reverse engineered to get us back to, you know, real-time reporting. And since we've been using these tables, we haven't had any issues with BPA or anybody complaining.
Well, that's good. Okay.
So when did you start using the new tables that haven't been in the FPP?
2009.
Okay, so you did start using them right away.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Every year we do a spot check. I've done a spot check, and every year since, I've filled out a coordination request to have them changed and the right ones put in.
And we submit it every year.
And so the intent here is to get the right tables in the fish passage plan from day one instead of having to do the coordination request.
But Dave, Will, the way I understand what he's saying is the actual patterns of the bulk pattern that we developed and the uniform pattern that we developed, the patterns really didn't change. What really changed was the calculations of the amount of spill that was being spilled as each gate was open a particular amount.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not changing the pattern, it's changing how much volume that we thought we were getting out of a particular line on the spill table.
And you're
So like, look at the first line where it says, you know, the RSW is in Spillway 8, but your total stops over there are 5.5. I think, you know, that may or may not have been correct in the old table, and then probably the one stop over in Bay 2 probably has.
I don't know. I can look at it.
But I think the amount of stop is.
It's just the discharge column.
Yeah.
Only the discharge column
would
change.
Now, I think it'd be really important for the region to get back to ERDC and use,
so these
using new, these right values and look at both of these patterns again and then look at a hybrid pattern between them so we're operating all on the same page.
When you, Ryan,
when
you guys did the work down at ERDC, was the model there set up correctly?
I mean, the flow is the flow. We set the right gates.
Right.
Height opening, so the discharge coming through that is correct.
So, yeah, it's just the what's going out the dam was wrong.
Right. It's just the reporting on the table. Yeah. The table's wrong, but the discharge coming out of the dam and the discharge coming out of the model has been correct.
But you're,
what we're reporting for discharge historically has been wrong.
It's just when there's more uncertainty at Lomo.
I'm not going to say anymore.
Put the right table on.
No,
okay, can we keep moving that we now have the right tables that we're getting into the plan?
Yeah, good job, Walla Walla District, in finally getting these out.
Well, let's see what the SDP shows us here.
Okay.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, then the next one, James is here. It's a all navigation entering the tail race navigation lock. James, you've got some wording changes that you wanted to recommend.
Yeah,
James. Sir? James?
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is Doug Ballas. I apologize for interrupting, but I should have caught this sooner. I didn't. But with specific comments on this change form, it was my understanding that we provided FPOM coordination on this language to the appendix C of the FOP is spill ops. And so back in January, we did a coordination form which took this language and proposed to move it into the FOP. So I don't want to interrupt your good thoughts here, but my understanding is this conversation may be all for naught. My understanding was the intent of this section, as coordinated at FPOM back in January, was to move this entire chunk.
Understand, and the draft 12 plan that went out was the initial 2011 fish passage plan. And this wording was incorrect at the onset of 2011, and so to capture the changes that we did last year, we put this back in to make sure that we got it right for this year. And if it needs to go back to the FOP, then fine, because I do remember the conversation and the emails about it being moved to the FOP, and
you just saw it again in here.
I saw it again.
Say in here, it needs to change.
We need to change the FOP. I'm sorry.
I should have caught it sooner. What I can do, I did provide internal comments on this issue to go in the FOP. What I will do is I will take the language changes here and make sure it's consistent, but my understanding was the intent was to have all, for consistency and everybody's sanity, is having all spill-specific stuff in Appendix C and to minimize redundancy of having it in the FOP and having it in the narrative, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I did this early in November because I had 160 hours of use or lose, and so I wanted to make sure everything got in the system early on, so. At least that way we started the season with minimal complications.
Okay, so the action is, Doug, we're going to remove this, it's going to the FOP Appendix E.
Yeah, and just to be clear on that, I've already submitted that, and what I will do on my submission is just clarify that this language that James has provided is correct. It is consistent with what comments made on the FOC.
Yep, and that was approved back in April.
Correct.
If I remember correctly, we just put it out.
Correct.
Yeah. But of course, in April, we passed the date for the FPP. It came out, FPP.
Okay, so moving on to the next one.
Tammy, before, I just wanted, this is Bill Hevel, and I wanted to ask James something. James, we have talked about, I think I talked with Tim or someone else, about looking at the Erdc model, and I think, looking at the spill pattern and seeing if there's problems with navigations entering the lock even above 32 kcfs, and seeing if we can adjust the spill pattern when boats are approaching it that make it easier for the barges and the tugs.
Well, I'm going to go back a few years and tell you that back in 2008 and 2009, we had the navigators down there and tried to work that issue, and basically, what we had to do is come up with what we're doing now, which is the in-season compromise. They're coming up, they notice that there's an issue, they call the powerhouse, they make an adjustment to the spill pattern, because we were unable at that time, and we did have a regional meeting down there, to come up with something that would work.
Yeah, I remember. I was there, Ann, and I think that I heard we need to revisit that. That there might be, I understand at 32 and under, we have to maybe shut it down for a while, but I think above that, they still have some problems, and we might be able to just adjust the spill pattern for an hour or so for them while they're entering, and then put it back without shutting the whole thing off. This is above, I'm talking about amounts above 32 kcfs.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was talking about, too. I don't think we dealt with anything under 32 back in that 2008 time frame.
Okay.
And what we have now is...
We did, but there's been a request to go down and look at it again, so I don't think it's been solved.
When was that request initiated other than right now?
I think the navigators initiated it. I was asking James, does he know about that?
No, I do not.
Okay.
And I guess the comment, when you got the spring pressure coming down, it doesn't make sense to close the RSW, which was what was originally in there. And whatever wording is in there, my operators are going to take it literally, word by word. And so we need to make sure we review whatever we do to those paragraphs appropriately before it gets implemented.
Yeah.
And some of that, I wasn't at the facility last year when this stuff come out. So that's how we ended up closing the RSW and some of the spillway early in the spring runoff. Or the spring freshet, and it just didn't make sense to shut off the passage for juvenile fish for a tugboat when we could have just left the RSW open.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as I understand it, I guess now thinking back, it was either Tim or the tugboat operators that initiated this, and they were hitting the wall on their entrance.
They're hitting the wall on the entrance as they come upstream. And if I remember correctly, we were talking about having them call before they set the project.
Yeah.
Upstream and all that.
And can we help them along without having to shut down the whole spillway?
Right.
Without having to shut down the RSW?
We typically hear from the boats somewhere around Windust, which is, 3 miles downriver. We'll typically hear them call in saying that they're looking for an upper, and gives us time to configure the plant to do what we need to do. It's just whatever we need to, whatever's the right thing to do, we need to make sure we got vetted.
Okay.
What's the comment here?
What's the plan when it's above 32 and they have a problem, Ann?
Okay.
What's the plan?
That's got to be total river, not the case spilled.
I know, that's the, I'm talking the river flow.
Yeah.
This language just seems to me just pertains to when the river gets below 32.
Well, the other piece that's a concern here is when you've got 150K in the river, and you've got a boat coming up, you can't shut the gates down or close that off very long before we start pulling the forebay too fast and then getting out of mock.
Yeah.
So, it's got to pass the common sense approach on operations.
Okay, Greg and Ann, what do you want to do with this?
Well,
you can't do anything with it because it's in the FOP, right? So it's not so much in the FPP.
That is going to be the place to comment because the draft FOP is going to be coming out here probably in the next couple weeks. And this is something that in the past, like last year, was apparently already in the FOP and it was just misplaced into the FPP. So in terms of what we're trying to do here today, it's not any longer appropriate because we're deleting it out of the FPP.
Okay.
But I guess I would encourage comments back to the FOP when it comes out. Related, if people have where they would like to see this go.
So, well, and it's as far as to the additional where we go from here, I believe it's the last change form. Well, there's one on John Day, but basically the agreed to language that we have here, I believe it's in the package somewhere, is basically it was relocated to Appendix E of the FOP. We're trying to keep spill-specific ops in Appendix E.
So that says that in one of the other change forms? Is that what you're saying?
Correct, that we agreed to back in January.
Okay, because if it doesn't say it there, then you just leave this in and say it's been deleted because...
Correct.
Yeah,
because we had the same discussion at Granite. There'll be a... We took the same approach with Granite.
But it should be noted that it was removed.
What I have for the record of final action is that this change form will not be approved, and BAS will take these changes and submit comments on the FOP.
Well, just to clarify that even further, those comments have been submitted already. So basically I implemented what we agreed to. We said, get it out of here, put it in the FOP. The FOP came out internally, I provided those comments, and so that's where it stands.
So,
we just need to make sure it's correct in the FOP.
Correct, and that's what I'll do out. I can verify that.
Thank you.
So, Bill, if you have some ongoing concerns, we will expect those as comments to the FOP.
Yeah, I'm okay. Yep.
Okay. Let's keep moving. The next one, Lomo operations again. This is the one that Greg broached earlier and said that he had put in all projects, and the only place he forgot was McNary, and that's maintenance activities for the RSW. Oh, no, this is a separate one. This isn't all, it isn't that one, Greg. This is the
operations aspects for the RSW and the dive operations and that.
Right.
Last year we incorporated operations activities of when to lay down the RSW, under what flow range, etc. There's a maintenance piece to the RSW because I guess the best way to
Carl Duggar, McNary Dam
has left the conference.
Is a suspected design flaw, and we have trouble with the transition plates, so we have to do inspections before we go online in March, and typically we go down sometime in late summer and the fall to make sure that the plates are inspected, to make sure, you know, what maintenance we got to do to this. And so instead of doing coordination requests, what we want to do is have the language in there so that it's a quick email to Greg or Ann saying, hey, we got divers in the water. It gives me the ability to take units 5 and 6 out of service so that I can send the divers in to do the necessary work to keep this online until we get past the transition plate and the weld stud issue.
So remember, we talked about that briefly back in September at FPOM, and that was that until James is solved his transition plate issue where he's breaking bolts every year, that they're going in annually and having to inspect and do maintenance on it.
So this inspection, is this typically take place in September or after September?
So when the spill gates go shut August 31st at midnight, we would try to go in sometime in September, which is going to require us to deviate from unit priority to take units 5 and 6 out of service.
Well, that's just what I was wondering, you know, if you go in there very often or not.
Because it's got the September 1 through April 1 dates up there, which is really the time, the maintenance period for the RSW.
But fish passage season ends the 31st.
We need to take a look at
these. That's all I was wondering.
I have to have a servant to make sure it's fine and prepare for work on it immediately. There's two different ways. If we do an ROV or if we do a dive.
But regardless whether we do dive or ROV, I have to spill water across the RSW to clean the region so that we can get a valid inspection. And then if we find that we've got plates that are out of order or that, I have to do a spill to clear the debris. I got to have units out of priority to do this work. So instead of doing individual coordination requests when I'm doing this work, we want it in the plan so that it's a quick email notification to the region, hey, we got this work going on, and I can just take care of it.
How much spill is it?
Typically, we crack the gates up to 3 stops to flush the debris for a couple of minutes. And then, depending on if there's any debris or anything in the region after the RSW is laid back, whatever's necessary to flush that debris out of there. It's typically been about 3 stops.
Yeah, sounds like we're okay with this. We can move on and approve it.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Good. Next one is the unit priority. James, if you want to start with this, and then I think Ryan was going to try to provide any additional information that might be useful for the fisheries folks.
Yeah.
It didn't pull across.
Okay. First part is 2007-2008 time frame. We received a lot of calls from.
What number are we on?
We're on 005. So Lomo 005 is section 4 unit priority.
Okay, good.
2007-2008 time frame, we got at least one call, maybe 2 calls a month from the Department of Justice for violation of unit priority. And it was determined that the judge was reading hourly average flow instead of daily average flow, and there's times where if we're reading daily flow and operating the units on daily flow, on hourly flow we were out of criteria. So we changed it to hourly criteria so we were matching what the judge was reading.
Always a good idea.
And that eliminated the phone calls. But what that also does is requires us to do more flip-flops of units. The putting it back to daily flow will minimize the flip-flop of units, but just making sure that everybody's on the same sheet of music there so that you know, when the, if the daily flow is, say, 70 kcfs, we're going to be running on the 70 kcfs table, and if the flows drop to, say, 60 during the day, we are not going to switch back and forth on those line items on the hourly data. Does that make sense? The other piece of this is the flip-flop in unit priority
has left the conference.
Last year in October, November time frame, there was two unit priority changes set out, one by the shippers and one by, I was at John Day, so I didn't see them, and the plant didn't respond because there was a 120 developmental in my position, and he didn't respond, and so, it created a situation where we were doing a whole lot of starts and stops and a whole lot of flip-flop in the powerhouse, which is hard on the units, and when we're doing a lot of flip-flop back and forth on unit priority, there's a lot of room for error there. And so the discussion needs to be a simple table that minimizes the flip-flop starts and stops. We need to try to keep the shippers happy. We need to try to keep the fish folks happy. We need to try to keep BPA happy, because the present table, we had some dead bands where we weren't able to meet generation. So, what's right? I don't know. You know, Ryan and I, Ryan, Ann, and Greg and I had a conversation about this last night, and, you know, it needs to be a group of compromises for everybody, I guess.
Looking at it hydraulically, back 2003 to 2005, and a little bit of 2006 when I was involved, we developed the unit priority 1, then 5, 2, 3, 4, 6. And the intent was to bring 5 on to straighten out the northern units. Since then, there's been a line added for flows less than 70 kcfs, changing the unit priority when we have spill. I'm not aware of the situation that required that, so I'm looking at Bill and Ann on this one to see if they can remember the intent there.
It was,
I have April 28, 2009 change form, and it came in from, as James said, basically the shippers changing unit priority. Then there was another one immediately after that. It looks like a change in 2011. Where we actually have the unit priority as it is right now in the fish passage plan.
And that came from?
And that came in, well, basically it was Doug again. He was probably responsible talking with these shippers at that time also. It came in from the division.
Doug, do you have a little more background on that?
I'm trying to dust off the... So we're just pulling up the one that track changes, so... Refresh me, what table are you looking at now? You're looking at the
11. This is last year. The 11 change form 002. And that's where we increase the spill. And put the change form, it looks like the way it is in the fish passage blend now.
Okay, so we're looking at the change form.
This was to get rid of that tail race eddy situation that we had in the tail race where the barges run into the wall.
Yeah, if we would have made any changes at RCC, the general theme of the calls we get there is people are hitting guide walls, tail race conditions are poor, and then the general methodology is if there's ways that you can change unit priority in coordination with the region, and I'm assuming if that was the context, that probably we could think,
probably
I could go back
right
to last.
The bat.
What's that?
It was with the tail race and the guide wall situation. We talked about it in FPOM.
Has joined the conference.
And it was approved with, as you see, the that was our change that we wanted to have in this in 2011. But apparently it's run into problems also.
So the only thing that's changed here is the turbine unit priority.
Where are we going with this? I guess the 2 cents I would
under over 70K.
I made a change in 11, or in previous years, it's generally in response to collisions with the guide wall. If that change isn't working, can we take a look at the current one that we're talking about and start opening up some dialogue with folks as to whether we can support that recommendation or trying to figure out where we're going here, guys?
Doug?
Yeah.
Doug, this is Bill. I don't think that it looks to me like the real change here is bringing, when you go above 70 kcfs, you're just bringing 2, 3, 4 online before you bring 5 online. And that's not, that difference, knowing the model and project, that's not going to change what's happening at the guide wall. So I think we did that. I think we put 5 in there to help guide the RSW flow downstream.
Are you looking at 2, 3, 5, 4, 6, 1?
No, I was looking at the next line down.
I'm looking at the next table is the one you're proposing, right?
I would think you're correct, Bill, because back when the RSW was going in, there was some reliance on turbine unit discharge to train that side of the RSW flow, so it didn't...
Right, that's why we stuck 5 in there, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be in there, but I would like to look at the model again and verify that. But I see the reason, and I think actually, now that we have the new outfall, I think it's probably better to run it as the way you're over 70 kcfs. You start with 1, then you go 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6. But with my experience with the model and the new outfall, that probably sounds the best. But I would like to go down there and verify that.
The other piece, there's two eddies that we talked about. We got the 180 over by the JFF and the barge loading dock.
Yeah.
And with the outfall relocation, the juvenile shouldn't be getting caught in that eddy.
Right.
And then we have a second eddy over at the nav block.
Yep.
Where it goes, it creates a siphon out of the water comes by the discharge valves of the nav block, and because we keep the discharge valves open during when the nav block's empty, so that when the gate comes shut, it's equalized, and so the flow coming off the spill coming by the discharge valves creates a suction, pulls water out of the nav block and around the guide wall, and the operators change the position of those valves to help the shippers get in and out of there so that they don't hit the wall or they don't hit the bank. But we're right there in the bend of the river, so the hydraulics are precarious as best.
And then, James, you're thinking that a change of this one turbine unit will help that situation?
What I shifted was purely to ease the power generation demand because of the dead man issues.
Oh, yeah.
He's not recommending one operation over the other. He just wants a consistent operation.
Yeah, that and consistent across the house so you're not flip-flopping and starting-stopping units all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're doing, if your flows change drastically, then you're, where we were at before, we were starting to pop in, say, half the house.
Oh, and
well, that makes sense to me. I think the issue with the nav lock wall, we could deal with that better by looking at the spill pattern.
Hey, found it. Did you finally find that we did this for low flows?
Bill, are you proposing to leave a single line in that priority being 1, 5, 2, 3, 4, 6?
Dykstra and I did this.
No, I thought he was asking to move 5. When you get above, to move 5 into the same.
I know. I'm taking really. Perfect.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6.
I gotta give myself a little bit of credit.
It wasn't all Doug. You gotta remember.
It's all Doug. Doug's getting thrown under the bus here. In support of my fellow colleague, salmon managers, part of the rationale we did, I just I found 11 element 001 unit priority. We did make the change, and the reason was in coordination with the region. There was dialogue to provide additional
problem we were having, I remember this was back when Dykstra was around, is we were trying to target 17 exactly. The problem is with Unit 1 being a fixed volume, it was hard to always hit 17. So you'd either go way under or way over.
Right.
So we Dykstra and I sat down and said, hey, if we do this operation, it'll be easier for them to hit 17 more often. That was part of the rationale for this. If that has changed and you can hit 17 much easier now, awesome. I don't know. I doubt you have, because nothing's really changed there. So I think that was part of the rationale for the prioritization we had.
Well, and I swear there was another one here, too. So it was basically a water issue, and then it was also... So here was the unit priority change here, and then there were the two. As you can see, in 2011, we had two. One was for increasing spill, and the other one was for...
Get some cake on here.
Eat your cake. Save your plates from buying pizza in an hour.
You think that's going to bribe you today?
I'm driving you. I'm just like,
at this rate, we don't eat pizza in the places.
We've got to get this stuff done.
Bribing you would be
pizza
here.
Sounds like more fun.
Just be
so that was part of the rationale.
Okay, so back where we are now.
Yes.
What I think I heard Bill say is with the nav issue, he still feels that he wants to take a look at this pattern in the model.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with what Tammy's got on, up there now, right where she's got her, the arrow pointing, going with when you get over 70 KTFS, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6.
No, I'm the same as...
However, I want to see that. I want to look at that in the model again and make sure. But for now, I say go ahead and do that because I understand... That gives you then you'll be able to operate, keep one online.
Well, I thought you guys can't remember these
all the time then. And
so just put an asterisk and say it's going to be reviewed.
That's fine. And you shifted five
I
over.
Told
yeah.
So are you getting those comments in? So I think, James, how does that sit with you? I mean, what that means is there'll need to be a trip schedule, and when they go, you should go down.
I still don't understand what his problem was.
Being able to defend.
I just don't understand the powerhouse.
I also am thinking that's going to change because I think we're going to operate with a hybrid pattern when we get over 60 KCFS. I want to be able to look at that with that hybrid pattern as you build up your uniform pattern.
Well, that's a separate issue. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
I guess I don't understand.
Yeah, it's separate, but we got it.
Powerhouse is 1, 2,
we don't want to change. We want to have it marked here that we change the spill pattern, we want to look at the turbine unit operations too.
Throwing this off and on. And
okay, we'll put that in the comments and we can move on.
Yeah.
Project folks have the concern they have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the next one, Greg, is emergency debris spill.
All depends on
this one. Again, it's just basically a copy of the one we saw for Ice Harbor. But it's the same section.
Okay. So people sort of briefed people earlier. I don't think we anticipate any issues on that one.
We're going to anticipate it. We're going to put it in.
So then, keep it moving. The next one is one that Tom submitted. Tom, I don't know if you want to lead the discussion there.
You're up, Tom.
There you go.
Oh, how did I get? Oh, okay. Just remember, this is not. I'm not the sole proponent of this. There are a few other people that I had helped editorially in writing this.
That's shocking.
Okay, and God forbid. And I'll tell you one thing. Never.
Just get the discussion initiated.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Never write with a group is what I'm coming to the horror conclusion. So basically, this comes down to the idea of what spill pattern do you want to use for this year? We've been using bulk. We did a test in 2009. We have now moved the outfall. Some of us have taken a look at the hydraulic model and have concerns about what seems to be an apparent eddy that is generated at the new outfall site. And I believe that when Bill Hevlin and a few others, I was not involved in this specifically to the development of what was called the hybrid pattern at the time, we didn't see the same problems occur. So for us, it makes more sense to put forward a spill pattern that doesn't create outfall eddies at a new outfall site that we spent $7 million on. I'm not sure if we've ever done in the past to basically build a new outfall and then create conditions that might cause an eddy at the new outfall. It's just kind of silly. But that's just me being silly, I guess. So what we're proposing is change the spill pattern to one that we feel is less risk of, which is more risk averse to creating eddies at the new outfall site.
Will that result in more spill?
I don't know anymore, because it all depends.
Well, so
it might.
We've got
between
like
60
several other people that have joined us in the room besides Ryan and Steve Junkie. We also have Marvin Shutters and Mandy. But just to review on the core response to this request at this point in time, I think I'll just give a summary statement and let other people chime in a little bit with the background and how they feel.
And can I just want to answer Scott's, to the best of my knowledge, Scott's question, and then you go back. I like what you're doing. Scott, I think my best estimation is maybe 2 or 3 KCFS difference in spill.
As you go
towards the uniform pattern, as you increase, you modify the bulk a little bit at a time and you move towards a uniform pattern between 60 and 100, you likely at 100, you've increased spill by 3 or 4 KCFS.
And this is Russ, and I'd characterize it differently.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that our current spill pattern there causes the core water quality folks to reduce the amount of spill and dramatically reduce the proportion of spill as flows are increasing, and at times large number of smolts are passing the project. And so instead of characterizing it as the proposed new operation would cause us to spill more under the gas cap, I'd characterize it as our current spill pattern causes us to reduce the amount of spill when conditions are likely better in river and when we likely have large number of fish approaching and passing the project. And so I want to make it clear, and you put it on the record, that our current spill pattern causes our water quality folks in meeting their job to reduce the amount of spill as flows are increasing and we have times large number of fish passing that project. And we have plenty of pit tag data that shows that that operation that we're currently implementing likely reduces adult return rates, especially for listed wild Chinook salmon in the Snake River. And it's not a smart
Carl
plan.
Carl Duggar, Veterinary Fisheries Program.
Has joined the conference.
Okay, so...
I think you're... I agree with you, Russ. That's a real good way of describing it.
Okay, so the brief that I was going to start discussion from this end was, based on the research that's been done in previous years, I think the last year was 2009, the Corps still believes that they should continue with the operation that they have been using the last 2 years, which is the bulk spill pattern, largely because the data has suggested that we have higher survival.
How much higher survival are we going to get when we are routing? For example, I've got numbers here that in 2007, when flows were averaging 40 KCFS and we were evaluating Snake River, this is Fall Chinook, but the same thing holds true, that on average, we passed 40% via the spillway. No, let me run that back. 91% via the spillway in 2007 when flows were 40 KCFS. But in 2008, during that same period, and we're talking about subyearling migrants, when flows averaged 106 KCFS, we only routed 40% via the spillway and put 6% through the powerhouse. At flows of 100 KCFS, I think survival for Snake River listed Fall Chinook are going to be better going over the spillway than putting them through the powerhouse And we have, and we're not talking about reversing this, we're just trying to make this a little bit more logical, is all this request is asking. And it is foolish to knowingly have a plan that puts more fish over the spillway at low flows and more fish through the powerhouse at high flows based on a minuscule difference in direct survival at the project when we have adequate data to indicate that doing so will have significant and large impacts on our real objective, which is adult return rates. And so we're getting into one of these battles is that we're willing to trade minuscule differences in direct survival and ignore large differences in adult return rates, which is our real ultimate objective of these actions. And this one is so dang logical that it is really frustrating how much resistance we're getting from the action agencies on this one.
Well, I think one thing that hasn't entered the discussion in what you just went through is the fact that we anticipate having a new outfall in place, and the hope with that is that it is something that would maintain or improve upon adult return rates.
Well, we're hoping it does improve adult return rates, but I am pretty confident it is not going to do enough to make up this difference we see in adult return rates.
Russ, do you have that data at your fingertips here? I'm sitting in a conference room without it.
Oh, well, there's
weeks ago?
Yeah, there's some of the information is included in the change form. For example, in the 2005 NOAA Fisheries Effects of the Federal Hydro System on Salmon Returns, that they concluded that for spring Chinook, especially wild fish, that it is likely fish...
No, I'm not talking about the 2005 data. I'm talking about the 2005 adult return stuff. I'm talking about the recent... data that
you
pulled together and sent to you.
Oh, I do not have that here, but once again, that was recent data. We can probably get that pretty quick if necessary, but that stuff was pretty dang clear that when they studied it, and they were talking about transporting 9,000 or close to 9,000 wild steelhead from the Snake River from Lomo, comparing those to fish transported from McNary Dam, and even with the culling that occurs between Lower Granite and Low Mo, and you would think that if culling was a major factor here, that fish collected from Low Mo should do slightly better than fish collected and transported from Lower Granite. But the data provided from Bill Muir, the last time we really did any evaluations, transportation from Lomo clearly indicated that usually Lomo does significantly worse than transportation from Lower Granite.
But that's not the issue. It's whether it's worse than not transported from Lower Granite.
That is correct. So if it does consistently less...
From Lower Granite is not the issue. You're comparing it to Lower Monumental.
But we already know right off the bat that fish migrating uncollected wild Chinook generally do slightly better.
Better for you last week. I was asking if you have, or a month ago, I was wondering if you had that at your fingertips. Of what are those data? One's really directly relevant to your point.
Well, I don't know the data. I'm not the data guy. You guys, the reports are to you. That do is you direct the studies.
No, what I recall, now maybe I may have this wrong, but I thought, you know, you pointed out that those reports did not include these data, and so then Bill Muir pulled together that data and sent it to you about a month ago.
Yes.
And that's what I was asking, if you had that.
And I don't have that here, but Paul has it. And if we need, do you have it here, Paul?
I don't have it here.
Can I interject here? I know that I won't be able to resolve this issue here,
that it has to go to the REOG or elsewhere.
Why does it have to go to the REOG? We're talking about a spill pattern here.
We are, but it has an additional spill associated with it, and that lives in the FOP world, and so that's why I can't.
We agree to shut off spill so that we can get barges to not hit the deal. We're changing the amount of spill. We make that decision here. How come we in this room can make decisions to reduce spill, but we can't make decisions that might... I'm not talking about reducing spill. I want to maintain spill. Our current plan unnecessarily and stupidly reduces spill. And at the technical level, we should be able to recognize, go back to that figure, that when we reduce spill as flows are increasing, large number of fish are arriving at the project is stupid. And it should be easy for us to just change the spill pattern and fulfill the court order, which is the spill to the gas cap. And we're just changing the spill pattern to one that is a cost-effective way to meet our ultimate goal, which is adult return rates. And it should be simple and easy.
Well, unfortunately, Russ, nothing is that simple and easy. You know, the process is when we can get everyone to agree that things are simple and easy. You can see at this point in time, the action agencies cannot agree to that in this forum, and I think Scott just briefed on that.
So you're telling me the action agency thinks it's a good idea to reduce the amount of spill at LOMO when flows are increasing and large number of fish are passing the project?
Russ, I'm saying we don't have an opinion at this time.
How do you say that with a straight face?
Cop out.
I cannot resolve this here. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Scott, I know it can't be resolved here, Scott. This is Bill. But we want to give you all the information so that when you go back, you can be convincing
supervisors
and BPA about this. Sure. This is not a radical change, Scott. This is not asking for over the board 5 KCFS more spill. What this is, Scott, is this is basically moving when you increase flows at LOMO, you get to a point where you're going to have to shift to the uniform spill pattern anyway for either overgeneration spill or other reasons, and it's up in that 120 to 140 range. You know that, Scott.
What
makes sense about doing this earlier is because you get a better spill pattern that's better for, it's lower than creating gas because you're pinching down those two or three bulk bays that don't have to be that wide open and creating all that gas, Scott. You're doing that earlier as the river freshet comes up. So you don't have to make these abrupt changes of these large gas creations overnight. You've got a pattern that's working at LOMO that's not creating as much gas because of those bulk bays are pinched down and spread out amongst the other ones.
Bill, I understand.
I think that's all important that you have all that information so you can go back and talk to them about it. This isn't radical. This is staying with the bulk pattern to 60 and then slowly, very gently modifying that so that you reach the uniform pattern when you're at 100.
Bill, how is this different from what was elevated to REOG last year? Because that's the way that I'd have to approach it, is something's different. They did make a decision on this last year.
I wasn't in the room for all that REOG discussion.
I
was trying to provide information about this, I don't think it really got communicated very well. It really makes a lot of practical sense.
I want to say something about that, is that last year when we submitted an SOR on this very subject and all the salmon management agencies signed on, that we were told that, well, the appropriate place to handle this is at FPOM through a change form. And so when REOG, by the time it got up there, it was not described well, in my opinion, at REOG. And when we came back and sat down and were told they were not going to implement our SOR, that we were told at that time that, well, we just don't want to make this change real quickly in season, and that the appropriate way to handle this is through a change form at FPOM. And I did not like that, because it was pretty logical that we should have done that last year. But I reluctantly said, okay, we'll come in and do it the way the action agency wanted, which was to go through FPOM and a change form. So here we are, I think a year later than we should have made this decision, with a change form and FPOM, and now I'm hearing that, well, we didn't make the decision last year and you submitted an SOR, so why would we change and make the decision now? So tell me, how in this process I can help the region make smart, logical, reasonable changes to meet our goal, and I don't have to start going underground, negative, confrontational to get a logical, smart change made. So
what's,
help me out here. How do I get this done?
Here. I got an idea.
For the room that we're sitting in, and I hear what you're saying, but I think Scott has been really clear that, you know, for him to do anything, he's going to go to REOG. So it sounds to me like
this doesn't make sense.
Would be in providing information if and when it does get elevated to that level.
And the other thing, too, Marvin's gone upstairs to pick up this data, so... You know, you must bring it right down.
No, it's going to be transport.
This isn't transport.
This isn't a transport issue. This is a spill issue. This is developing the right spill pattern for the project, given that you've got a new outfall location and some other things have changed.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I've been struggling with, people ask me is, well, why in the world did you put the outfall there if this is a problem?
Right.
And so...
Do you want the history?
I don't want
the history, because it's not going to look good for some people.
It won't look good for the core.
So what we use as an opportunity is we do have a new condition, and then we run it through. It's January, so we're not... It's not in season. It's a perfect time to elevate this kind of thing.
Well, I don't know. Does it need to be elevated?
I don't know. What I'm not saying is elevate. What I'm saying is the region needs to go down to Mississippi, down to the model, develop a spill pattern from start to finish that works with the conditions you have there now. Forget this. Start from scratch, work through whatever works. It's probably going to be look just like what this looks like, but it's the way we do business.
You know, I think the only problem that we have with that, which is why people haven't initiated a trip already to Erdig, is that they feel that the location of the new outfall is beyond the competence of the existing model, and so that it inaccurate.
I've heard that before, Anne. I've heard that before. I haven't heard the reason why you haven't modified the model in the last 3 months, 2 months, or whatever you've had since this first came up. If it's an NSIL issue, then you need to extend the model. I realize there's other models in the way and other things, but it can still be done. There's modifications to the NSIL. Ryan, you're on the phone. Help me out here.
The issue regarding all general models is the inability of those models to accurately depict the powerhouse flow entrainment. That's the mechanism that drives the eddies. Now, knowing that, and we know we can replicate eddies, but we know we can't replicate the intensity of the eddies.
So you're saying that the
intensity of that eddy drives how hard that eddy can move downstream. So it's a flaw of all general models. It's nothing that we can fix the general models. And we're asking a general model to replicate an eddy 2,000-3,000 feet downstream where it's really sensitive to powerhouse flow entrainment. So that's where
That the general model can't be used to develop a spill pattern?
Have joined the conference.
We have used those spill patterns to replicate the near field performance and use them as relative.
I don't really consider that outfall location near field.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying that if you're concerned about the intensity of an eddy and its capability of moving downstream, we know the general model is flawed in the ability to do that.
So you're saying there's too much energy coming out of the model, so that far downstream, the additional energy from a powerhouse is more likely to set up an eddy. Is that the argument you're trying to make?
The argument I'm trying to make is that the intensity of the eddy is light compared to what we see out in the prototype, and then the energy remaining from the powerhouse flow is capable of moving that eddy downstream. So you have a weak eddy capable of moving downstream. Compared to prototype, and maintains a strong eddy near the powerhouse the entire time through the entire season. You do not see that eddy move out.
Well, I don't know if we have any data to say yes, it does or not. I mean, you have an hour and 15 minutes of transect data. I'm not sure if I'm willing to hang my whole hat on accuracy of that to the general box. I mean, people have spent a great deal of time calibrating the model, and you're saying...
Dan Katz worked on that thing for years.
So you're saying you still have the problem with the powerhouse, understand. So I'm just trying to understand the methodology here that you're saying...
For every general model.
Yeah, I know. We've been playing with them for only 15, 20 years now.
Yeah.
That's all right. I guess we're
learning anything.
So you're saying, I'm just trying to understand, so then we just as well skip ERDC from now on.
So you can just cut all funding to ERDC and we don't need to use that?
Because that's what we use those models for and have since, well, I've been doing it since 91.
You were born at ERDC, weren't you?
No, I was Bonneville.
That's all right.
You're spawned.
So I'm just trying to understand. You're just saying the methodology is that...
Well, let me say something else, too. We've done that. We've been using those models to develop these patterns and looking at eddies, just like you're talking about, and they've been pretty damned accurate. And I don't, you know, and those are scales going up to 1 in 100 scale models, not a 1 in 55, or that's what this one is, 1 in 55. So, I'm surprised.
I'm asking you to take in consideration, we do have field data indicating that this model in this situation downstream is not accurate.
Well, can you fix the model? What are you doing to fix the model?
Or have you done a full calibration study?
Year with bulk spill pattern to verify that I'm correct, the prototype does not have the eddy. Two, we're collecting additional data so that we can assist in potentially calibrating the model. But again, I think the general models are very limited in the ability to replicate this type of feature.
Could I propose that we put this on our next agenda for FPOM? So we'll never get to our...
Well, it sounds like what I'm hearing is that the...
What we need for the next meeting is 2 weeks away.
Sooner or later, so this has got to come to an end.
We need to make a decision.
The decisions I can't
well,
make.
Well, you know, I think you've heard from Scott. You know where we started this.
Well, I'm going to try another route, Ann. My route is that as the technical representative for Idaho Fish and Game, I have noticed... that the spill pattern that the action agencies are currently implementing at Lower Monumental Dam is causing a reduction in spill levels as flows are increasing. Now, NOAA Fisheries representatives are here. Is your vision of what you're planning for your plan of operation for the fish that you have ESA responsibility for, is it a good idea to reduce spill at Lower Monumental Dam when flows are increasing above 60.
We agree with you, Russ.
So,
Bill, are you okay
will you
that?
Join me in asking the action agencies in coming up with a plan that does not cause spill levels to drop when flows are increasing at Lower Monumental Dam? I am asking the action agencies to come up with a plan so that we do not drop spill levels when flows are increasing and fish are arriving at Lower Monumental Dam. That is counter to the intent of the BIOP. The intent of the BIOP is not to reduce spill levels when flows are increasing and fish are arriving at Lower Granite Dam. Fulfill the intent of the BIOP, come up with a different spill pattern that does not cause the water quality folks to reduce spill when fish are arriving at Lower Monumental Dam. That is an official request. Right. Can you implement my request?
And this is a simple, Tom's is a simple approach.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I know you can do that. You can move to the uniform pattern sooner as river flows come up.
It's not a policy decision to change the plan to meet the intent of the BIOP.
It's the bulk pattern, those bulk bays, those two or three bulk bays that are creating the majority of the gas. The RSW bulk bay has to stay open. That's granted. That stays open. But you can spread that additional, that as water flows come up, you can spread that spill over the bays that are unopened or open one or two stops.
So can this committee, can FPOM come to a...
And that's a lot better for water quality.
Agreement. so that we elevate to REOG, regardless of who's around the table. I mean, everybody.
I think that's the only agreement we can come to today, Gary, well, is that we will elevate it, and everyone can put
it. I've got another request, Ann.
Russ, time out. Ann, can we wait 2 weeks to the next meeting so I can't do it right now? Give me the 2 weeks to support what you guys have told us, and then we'll elevate it next F-bomb.
And the biggest change is, let's change the standards this year. Last year we asked for a uniform pattern the whole time. Now we're the same.
Okay, as long as it's written up exactly.
You've got exactly what you need to talk to those guys about.
Right,
you know the issue.
I just can't do it right
and
now.
So I don't
need the 2 weeks till our
it's
next
suppression
meeting.
Of fish pass.
I'll give you 2 weeks. But
does this have the new table?
You guys have resolved that. Hybrid. We need to keep moving because we have this room until 12, and then we're actually 12:30, I think. But we should keep moving.
Right. So give us 2 weeks, and we'll.
This is Carl Duggar. Ann and Tammy, I forwarded to you those edits. For some reason, my send does not appear to be acknowledging the fact that I sent it. We seem to have a.
I don't think our network's working over here, Carl, because I have some stuff that I sent at 11 that's getting rejected. So we're down.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good enough.
Thank you.
I gotta sign off then if you don't need me. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks for your effort.
Hi. Carl Duggar, McNary Fisheries Program.
Has left the conference.
Make the selfie can't stop.
Go ahead and move on to Little Goose. The first one there, we have George in the room. It deals with ESBS inspections.
Yeah, the full change here is just to increase the amount of, increase the amount of inspections, not using video cameras, but actually using electronic equipment that was installed over the last 6 years, which is just more and better equipment, easier to verify that screens are operating correctly.
Do we have any comments on that section?
None here.
Okay.
Hey, Ann, can we cover the one Paul's in the room for? He's been diligently waiting ever since we waited.
Paul's got nothing else going on. He's nice. Transportation boy.
Well, there's a transport.
Mm-hmm.
The one that Paul Wagner has that he's been waiting for the last 40 minutes for us to get to.
Was that a Lomo one?
It's a summer transport, well, Lomo and other projects.
It's Appendix B.
So is that the minimum number one?
Yeah.
Yeah, 103.
Yeah, we can jump to that. I guess we didn't know you were coming in for that. We thought you were coming in for the Lomo spill argument.
That's the Appendix B.
So did we just approve that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a different.
Yeah, we had a number of in-house comments in the last couple of days, and basically, you know, I wrote this up because there was a lot of coordination going back and forth at the end of the year as to what we should do with a couple of numbers and tried to throw out just a baseline number to start with where it didn't appear that we're really getting any benefit from transport in terms of adult returns.
Oh, here it is.
For 100 fish or less.
Page 37.
Well,
that's the three minus the mortality between the dam or in the barge, and then so now you're down to less than 100.
Boy, it wasn't mine.
Thank you.
So, what? Summarize it for biologists. What is the requested change?
Ann, you were the one that wrote this, weren't you? Well,
the change largely is when numbers get low enough that all of our previous data collected over the last 20 years suggests that we're not providing even one adult return, that we stop transporting and put those fish back through the bypass outfall.
Yep, it's fine by me. You may want to have it more than 100. I mean,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, the 103s. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, we're open for discussion.
Well, I mean, if
that,
you do 103 every day, then it's 200, and now you have more than one, and so how do you reconcile that?
Well, I think the in-house discussion that went between the project biologists suggested that we reconciled it with a transport load. While we if we're transporting every day, then that number holds. But if we're transporting every 2 days, then it would be the collective number.
Right, I understand. But I still, you have 100, and there's not enough fish to return from 100 to make it worthwhile because it's less than one. But in a week or 2 weeks, you have several hundred, and now it's more than one. And so how do you reconcile your trigger? Not that I'm against doing this. It's just that the rationale to me didn't make a lot of sense.
You're not talking about holding fish for a week, are you?
No, I'm not at all. I'm just saying that over time, there's an accumulation
right.
of transported fish that would result in more than one.
Right.
And if your rationale is that it's less than one, that's not a very good rationale if you look at it over a series of days or weeks
right.
or whatever.
It's one per trip.
One per trip,
you're
right.
It's per trip, and in general, we're not looking at accumulating things over days, weeks, and months, but we're evaluating at a minimum by week. And we're making decisions of when to switch based on daily collection data between transport and bypass, and so that's a lot of the late season activity last year is what prompted this.
Right.
You know, a lot of coordination to decide in less than a day or two what to do when suddenly we're having disease outbreaks and we're having very few fish. And if, you know, I'm throwing it out there. If
yeah.
people, you know, I guess, you know, everything seems to get back to what do our numbers say in the past. And so I just pulled this together for discussion. And also so that we can come up with a consistent policy that provides some guidance out to project here in the future, and trying also to minimize some of that coordination that goes on. I recall last fall, I guess when I was first getting involved, it seems that somebody there mentioned that they thought it was in the FPP that once we hit a certain trigger, we just went to bypass.
And I think that's
a possibility as well.
Just make the trigger make sense. I think we're okay with it.
Oh yeah.
It's just. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with you. It's just purely just like, let's just clean this up and make it a little more.
Yeah, and for my take, I think what we should do is try to come up with a trigger that we can all believe is reasonable, that we just shut off the transportation that mm-hmm. time of year, because we don't want to be holding fish to see if we get 103 or 104 and make a decision whether we bypass them 2 days later or so. Yeah.
Right.
We want to make the decision that we're done with transport for this season
and
bypass
them
as possible.
At all.
Okay.
That was never my point.
Do you want to throw out what you feel would be a reasonable trigger for us to work on writing up? Or?
Well, it'd be good to take a look at the data to see what trends we typically get at particular times of years, and that may help inform the number.
Okay, so maybe Paul, I'll have a little discussion with you as I work on drafting this.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on the general concept, but just trying to describe something.
Yeah,
that
just make
needs
the trigger make sense and recognize that you're talking about shutting off transport a few weeks, possibly early. So that 100 fish adds up per day over time, but we don't care because we're down to 100 fish a day, whatever. It's just recognize that that's cutting, truncating the season by several days, if not weeks.
You could have two triggers. You could have one that's a number and another that's a date.
No absolute or something like that.
Whichever comes first.
Yeah, whichever occurs first. Yeah, that works.
Okay, we'll work on it,
Ann.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks. So let's jump back to Little Goose.
Thanks, Paul.
It sounded like the wording in the ESBS is nobody was having any issues with it that George was describing. So I think, are we moving off that one to the next one?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Next one again, LGS 002, that standard wording that we can have up and down the thing. Related to the favored past location that the breeze stuck into the still they wear. Adding that one paragraph into the FPP.
So it's the same as everywhere else.
Up and down the snake.
So instead of having separate ones for each dam, can we just make one that includes all dams, or
it's easier to break them up?
Okay.
No, I mean, we can say that, and I hear the agreement. What we need to do is within each dam section add this. So,
the operators are already project looking at just their stuff.
Granted, if you want to agree now, we don't have to walk through those. I mean, if we're doing Goose right now, with Granite left, I mean, we can just say that we agree for all of them.
We're okay with Granite and McNary.
Okay.
And all five of them.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the next one is George again. This is 003 flow meter.
Yeah, the intent here, if you look at paragraph 3, the race warded, it's not representative of the entire channel. The flow meter is located over diffuser 2. Diffuser 2 is the largest of the diffusers in the channel. You have upwelling occurring there. So basically, the meter is always going to show under criteria less than 1.5 feet per second of flow. It's been doing that for years since it's been installed, but it's not representative of the channel. So I guess my point is that we measured channel velocities, flow velocities in different parts of the channel, particularly over by the north powerhouse. And there were, you know, a high between, I think it was 1.9 to about 2.9, averaging somewhere around 2.54. Depending on the height that we actually measured, but basically your average flow, subsurface flow, is around 2.5, 2.6 at the North Powerhouse. So as you can see, the channel changes in flow criteria throughout. My suggestion would be to remove the flow meter there and relocate it to a different position. But in general, it's just not representative of the entire channel like it states in the fish passage plan. The other option would be just to stick with surface velocities only, which are similar to what we've measured in different parts of the channel.
And your door is open.
We're running.
No, I went the wrong way. I came back in.
Velocities or...
Yeah, personally, just sticking to surface velocities would be, of course, the easiest, and I think it's representative of the subsurface velocities, like I said, throughout most of the channel, except that diffuser 2 where that flow meter is located. The flow meter data is basically upwelling type data. There is flow through there, but it's non-laminar, and you know, it's just erroneous type data. It doesn't prove to do any good at all.
Numb.
You know, basically that's what was done for a long time before you had a flow meter in place anyway, right? You
would service velocities.
You know, that's the historic way until then you had equipment, and now we're seeing that based on where that was put, that we're getting erroneous data. So does anybody have a problem with going back to what was taking place prior to putting in this flow meter in the wrong location?
Why don't you move the meter to a place that is representative?
That's what I suggested. That was one of the comments. We could do that. In fact, we actually just purchased a new current meter, and we could provide monthly data, subsurface data, at a different portion of the channel, which should be in criteria, provided we've got three pumps running at 35 RPM. The only time that the current is really going to change in that channel, the flow speeds will change, is if we lose a pump, bump up the other two to around 80 RPM, I don't know the measurement subsurface at different parts of the channel. Two pumps on it, but of course, if we have an outage, I can check those measurements then. But it should be fairly consistent year after year after year. The flow's not going to change, provided we got the auxiliary pumps at 35 RPM, unless we lose a pump.
Literally buying.
So I guess what I heard before was the comments from others were moved to a better location. They support George on that.
Yes.
Yes.
Good idea. Next.
Okay. Good.
Not my issue.
Next one. Again, is the cold weather operations. This is the one that John put in, where Gary took exception to McNary, but it has already been in the fish passage plan at Lomo, Lower Granite, and Ice Harbor. Bill, I guess this would be primarily you commenting whether or not you would have a problem having the, when extreme cold weather is forecasted, giving the project the ability to lift the ESBSs.
Well, and STSs.
At Little Goose and Lower Granite, right?
Yes. Yeah, we actually already have it in the 2011 plan at Lower Granite and at Lower Monumental and Ice Harbor, but we didn't have it in at Little Goose.
Okay, that's fine, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Just didn't kill a bunch of fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the float car carrying the channel?
Okay, keep it moving here.
Little the shadow.
Table 5,
what's
modification.
What's the float car carrying the
channel? 2 or 4 seconds.
Is there a fallback going on over there?
That's the question. If you do that adult study, make sure that gets added.
Can we go back to that last one, Bill?
Bill, yeah.
So you're not foreseeing any fallback issues with any adults at those projects by pulling those screens?
No.
Okay. I'm just thinking that maybe when we do that adult study, we should take a look at some of that data just to verify that.
Yeah. That would be my suggestion. Once we get that data, we'll make sure that in that study they make sure they tag enough steel and hopefully to take a look at some fallback in this time frame.
The bigger issue here is we don't want to ruin this.
Yeah, that sounds good, Tom.
You're getting it out because the ice is going to destroy your ability to go.
This is really critical, ice beam situation. Like we experienced 2 years ago, or was it 3 years?
Yeah, it's
but
not
every one of the projects went through the screen early, so they wouldn't freeze into place. I know the steel head issue came up too at that time.
And the ESPN. Yes.
They may not be able to.
Okay, Kiefer.
Okay, so did anybody have a problem with the table modification that Greg described?
It just was what it was.
No, we're okay. Go ahead.
It's okay with me, Ann, but I guess what we could do is I guess we could turn on the RSW for fallback, open it up when we have to pull the screen.
Kind of, there's a good idea.
We're getting a bunch of mods.
Scott's nodding his head yes.
He agrees that it makes a lot of sense.
So is that okay, Trevor?
How successfully do you want me on the other issue?
See, we're throwing this one out as like, okay, I stopped this one, but...
Yeah, I don't see that one going to Riyadh. Approved. All the dams.
Frozen anyway.
They're all frozen.
Yeah, there's something to do.
I guess... You know, if we're going to start adding stuff like that, we're probably going to just have to go into in-season coordination for this kind of stuff.
We're not. They're just kidding.
Okay.
You're missing the humor in the room.
But we're really not.
I see the smile.
Kind of kidding.
There we go.
I'm kidding, not really.
Just wait.
The next one, Greg, is emergency
that's another one the same.
Yeah.
Read that was okay everywhere.
Correct.
Next one is tunnel lights that was proposed by David Benner.
What
did we just approve? Mirror be clean and functional because that's how you check the lights.
And apparently we just.
I think the project came back with comments that.
Mirror smear.
We don't have a mirror there.
Goose.
So therefore, there's no mirror to keep clean. The water
there's no mirror at Goose. Okay, what Granite had a problem with the mirror this year. That's why I put it in there.
Granite had a problem.
And so maybe we
Goose
should.
Goose doesn't have a mirror.
Yeah, we should have a mirror. It's the difference between facilities. So, you know, like they said, you know, they just use the light bulb reflecting off the water. When you look up from the North Powerhouse entrance there at Little Goose,
our recommended
action was not agree with that change.
Well, since you don't have a mirror, it's going to be hard to.
Yeah, is it? Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Just put a mirror in order to.
Now we're moving into Lower Granite. We have the emergency debris spill RSW.
We're still okay.
We have covered elsewhere, so we'll keep moving with that. Covered three earlier today.
Okay, wait, half a second.
Again, tunnel lights at Lower Granite.
My culprit, Lord Granite, agrees with this one.
So he will work to remedy that. Okay, so
that goes in.
I'll be back in a minute.
Ann?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is Dave. Let me just make sure. Things went a little quick here, and was this just 003 we approved?
Actually, we moved through 003 because apparently we... Someone said that we talked about it earlier.
We basically had the same conversation we had earlier about lower monumental and the tails, grease, and navigation issues.
So it moved to the top.
This was moved also to the, according to Doug, was moved also to the
Okay, I just want to make sure I don't lose that.
Yeah, thanks. I think that was an abbreviated discussion. We went through that kind of fast, and I thought Greg meant we had had a discussion on it. We did, but we didn't necessarily say that Granite was coming back when we had the discussion. We had the discussion for Lomo.
Okay. And then one other indulgence, if I may, please. What was the result of 005 and 006? 06 was the standard wording that we're adding in, correctly?
Are you back at Little Goose?
Yeah. 005?
I have 05 was the table modification, and so we've got wording under it. It's the footnote underneath of it. And it provides more of an explanation for the people at the project.
Okay, so it didn't really...
Underneath the table rather than somewhere else, so that when they're looking to implement it, it's right in their face.
Okay, because I was just confused. It didn't change in the table. You're just explaining it better.
Yeah, it's actually written up in another spot, but we're moving it to the spot just because there's been some problems, I guess, with interpretation out of implementing it at the project.
Okay, thanks. I just momentarily confused.
And then 006... was the emergency debris spill over the spillway weir that we covered early on.
Right, standard language.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, so now we're back to 004 for Lower Granite, which is the tunnel lights again. And I think you heard Greg mention that he had comments back from Mike Halter that he agreed. And so, no issues there, if you will.
Unless he lost the mirror, then he could be okay like Goose.
Yeah. This guy with Sawzall right now. Get rid of those mirrors.
Okay, so we've done Appendix B, and so now we're on to Dvorak, right?
So the only other thing that Mike mentioned was that there was a typo in Lower Granite 231 that said that the startup date was incorrect. The correct startup date for Lower Granite is March 25th, and the first sample day is March 26th.
That was one of the bitter change ports.
That was on that same, yeah.
Yeah. Good. That was an easy catch.
Yeah.
The other ones that Benner suggested, made changes, and those were already taken care of.
I didn't see some of the Lower Granite dolt counting dates changed in the latest draft. I'm not sure we find that. I had a change form that dealt with...
Your change form, the form that stood for... end of season counting is the 12:30 of every year. 12:31, yeah. Granite does pull the plug on the AWX pumps, and they start the dewatering process of the ladder.
Okay.
About 3 years ago.
So my question was, there's two tables. One has the 30th, the other has the 31st. So.
Yeah. Pick which one. First on, I don't know if we have plus 30.
Okay, so the previous table has 30, the 30th, or 31st. So I think it was table 2.
Is it just the date correction? Because we don't really need a change form for those. We'll just go through and correct all the years and dates if they get altered.
Just make a note, send an email.
Yeah, that was one part of it. And I also added the, I believe, night counts for Lamprey.
Night counts for Lamprey do not start on the date that you suggested.
Okay, they're...
They start on July 1st. Not June 15.
Well, I looked at the past 3 years of counts, and it was June 15.
June 15 is not the start date of the county of the Lamprey at night.
So has that changed, Greg?
That has not changed from day one.
The we had night counts for June 14th.
July
1. Last 3 years. All those links I had provided down there have...
The thing is, we start counting sockeye June 15th.
And then did someone go back through and look at the sockeye data to get that right?
So, Greg, you're saying contractually they are not required to count lamprey until July 1st?
Correct. Contractually. No.
But they have...
So just because there are counts earlier, they don't necessarily have to start counting June 15th. It would be July 1st where they are required to count. So we don't want to put in a date that they're not required to count.
Okay, but then... Okay, so I was just looking at what they had done in the past 3 years.
We haven't done.
Because we also, we have fish data that for times when we don't actually require them to count.
They just like to count.
Well, if they're there. Yeah.
Might be research or something like that.
Yeah.
So there might be some numbers there, but... It doesn't mean anything.
No, it just all it means is that they don't count on them to always be there.
Right, that's what I mean. It's a moment in time that's not consistent throughout that period until July 1st when counting begins.
Correct.
What? August? July?
July 1st.
July 1st.
So I'm all for lamprey.
Okay. But June 15th, you have soccer counts.
And how many July numbers 1st? Do you have in June? June 15th? From June 15th to July, how many numbers do you have on there?
I just put out the links.
Well, I'll look at that too and see what the counts are.
Because if you are getting counts, you probably should start then.
Okay, there's one other. I think we're at the end. Unless we need to cover our fish production at Gorshak adult, that's already been agreed upon. Has anything changed there? That's
So these are the modifications that we learned from the salvage attempt. Did Gary have a chance to review those?
Yeah, I did, and I do have questions and concerns.
Okay, so let's move on to talking about that one.
So we're on the turbine maintenance?
Gorshak.
Yeah, fish protection procedures for turbine maintenance.
Page 38, all right.
Okay. You've made changes to several of these paragraphs. Paragraphs are all numbered, so I'm going to go by number paragraph. And I'm okay with the changes to number 8 through 10. I'd like to see the reasons for the change to for the list under number 15K. Because there were several changes there, transfer tanks, the radios. I don't care about the boots they wear, but I do care about the fish transport tanks. I don't understand the change from 4 radios to 2. Some of this other stuff is probably pretty self-explanatory, but...
So we got the transfer tanks right at the top. That was canceled. And move it down to 10 as a nut.
What was that again, Greg? N for what?
10. if you look later, rule it further down in the chart.
I got it. So you're saying that those two carts, 150 gallon, replaces the 32 gallon push carts?
Yes.
That though they're able to go in the same locations and places that you needed them to go to?
They are electric. I told you about that probably a couple months ago. These are carts that are electric. They can
right.
go up the ramp. They go right to the location. They are faster. They able to get out of the get the fish to the chilies 2 minutes earlier.
Okay, these fish buckets on end. I mean, I'm having trouble with 150 gallon versus 32 gallon. You use those in different ways, so you're saying that they cover the exact same purpose.
So it's really, you know, yeah, a little bit more.
They cover the same purpose.
They cover the same purpose.
Okay.
Fish release tape instead of a plastic tape.
Okay, what I'm going to ask you guys to do is to explain in writing each of these changes. And you recognize that this is a legal issue, not just FPOM.
And are you looking at just the paragraph number 15?
Yeah, in 15, these changes, just write up a rationale of what you're doing. Because this, you know, we had law enforcement and a whole lot of other folks involved in this thing. And we're going to have to follow the changes all the way through with rationale every time we change this dewatering guideline document.
Okay.
So I think you're okay. I understand. I just think that I don't want to be trying to explain this, and I don't think you want to be put on the spot unexpectedly to explain it. So let's just have something written up that specifically identifies why each of those items were changed in that list.
I can provide that to you.
Yeah, fairly simple. Don't go into too much detail. Just
like rubber boots, guys' socks were getting wet. Needed waders.
Yeah, I don't care about that one unless Tom does, which apparently he does.
He does.
So wet socks.
You might want to cover the boot issue for Tom.
Does that include 16 also?
Okay.
Did that include 16?
Yeah, now moving on to 16, okay. I also had the same thing. What's the reason for the change? It's a hoist, lift line. You crossed out the rigger need to assist the hoist operator. What was that rationale for that?
Explain
that you're getting the job done in the same in just a slightly different way.
Yeah.
17E was another one was unclear to me. Yeah, it just needs what draft tube what? Obtain a tail race river temperature, comma draft tube, comma reading. That perfectly clear to everybody else. I'm fine.
I'm just wondering if reading is. Are you taking a temperature of both the tail water and
assume.
The draft tube?
Yeah, we're taking. I
know what you mean, but say it clearly.
Make it. Yeah.
Okay. Going on to 17I, you have a. This is probably just a word missing, but I think you've moved from rubber slings to vinyl slings. You just said into slings, which could be a blue jean pant leg, for all I know.
Could be a barbed wire sling.
Yeah. So just state that that's a vinyl sling. Is that right?
It's the same vinyl sling.
Yeah, just state that. That's all.
Just vinyls. Put vinyls.
Is that a rubber? 17K, I did understand the reason for removing that. You got a wash system, water supply, it seems important, temperature. What's the rationale for taking K out? Unless I missed the.
He's going to answer. Water temperature.
What?
Yeah, water temperature was warmer than the tail race water temperature.
Yeah. But anyway, just explain your rationale for removing it.
Got it.
And then you had another one in there, 17 K L, whatever it was. I'm okay with that one.
The L.
The
river water.
Yeah.
The new K.
Oh,
river water.
Ice, yeah, river new water K. Ice, that's okay. That's fine. We use that elsewhere.
Yeah, it's not tap water.
So that's, understand. And those are my comments. I just basically want clarification so that we can follow this up.
Okay.
You know how sensitive this was, and it
absolutely
remains that way.
Thank you. I will send that out.
Okay, Greg, thanks.
No problem. I like that.
One other thing that wasn't covered. I think we're at the end of our list now. We have a couple minutes, and George is here. Apparently, in the past, we've punted on really getting anything done language-wise for Lamprey in here, and yet MPOM sort of approved an action that takes place at Little Goose, which is when they capture adult Lamprey in their sample that they take them upstream. We're wondering if it wouldn't be prudent as we go through 2012 to have somebody try to get maybe the Lamprey group moving on a separate appendix for incidental fish that might cover these types of activities specific to things like Lamprey and any other incidental species within the Fish Passage Plan, just within an appendix.
This is good. Well, yeah, you might pass that on to Derek and see if you might be able to get like a recommendation from the Lamprey group saying, is that just a carte blanche that all adults when captured will be released above the project, which I think is currently the plan.
Well, the only place we have it in the plan, I think, is at Goose.
Well, then that's something that the Lamprey group we should probably talk to, because I think that makes the most sense, but you'll probably want to bounce it off them.
Where are they being captured?
Like when you do an adult dewatering, yeah. And you find them in... like diffusers or...
Yeah, but for the juveniles, who, everybody replaced tail screens last year, and then there's an experimental tail screen that we had discussion on last FPOM meeting, so there is kind of a move with juveniles to be putting them back into the river.
Versus...
Yeah, I think that...
make the guns out of them?
Yeah, there's going to be more stuff, and maybe it's time to start putting it in, but I thought it was a good suggestion.
So, Anne, you said this language exists already under Goose or Granite?
I believe it at least exists under Little Goose.
Do you know where exactly?
Well, we have the plan right here. We have a couple minutes. Why don't we just try to find it?
Yeah, I've got it here, too. I was just trying to flip to it.
I guess the question is...
And it may not be.
Oh, it's not currently in the plan. It's something that was...
No incidental on the plan, period.
So that's the issue. Okay, so did you hear that, Dave?
So it's not in the plan.
Not in the plan. It's been approved. We're wondering if it would be appropriate to start adding things that are specific to these incidental fish into the plan.
Okay, so when you say it's been approved, that's what the project's going to do.
That's been doing.
Yes.
That's what they've been doing.
They apparently had it approved over a year ago.
Okay. So, now I'm with you.
So it's just something to think about as we go into 12, that we're now starting to... try to maintain an awareness for some of the incidental species, typically lamprey and possibly at the lower river, things like sturgeon. Do we want to start putting something like that, a little bit more visibly?
Yeah, we'll just tell Bonneville that all sturgeon has to be released upriver.
No.
We need a new reseeding program for that upriver.
That's a good one also. What are we doing with that?
I'm sorry, Greg, what?
Why would you subject them to such a
measure? Right now, we didn't prepare anything for this meeting to add in, so we're not really prepared. But at a minimum, I think we'll give some thought to it over the course of 2012 and consider making a recommendation before we go through this again next year.
Well, I think that would be good, Anne, because I'm also thinking, and I don't know the odds, but if you're going to talk about lamprey, you might as well talk about bull trout, a listed species.
They won't care.
Hey, Dave, we might want to work with
they'll
you.
Think they'll be happier that way, trust me.
Yeah, and then it would be nice, I guess, if this is coordinated with the Portland District so that maybe we've got some commonality, but I don't know.
It would be something that I think we would see system-wide that we'd be trying to do.
Oh, okay.
Probably you have to walk through if we had differences by project, though.
Okay.
we're going to have to start drafting some language. So I think as we go through the year, I mean, feel free to start thinking about bringing that stuff to FCOM.
Well, currently, I know at the lower projects here, when you dewater, a lot of the lamprey end up being distributed.
They can be.
They can be.
If they're requested, but if not, they get released. Adults are usually released upstream.
Okay. So have there been any requests to collect the dewatered lamprey at the Walla Walla in the past?
Oh, at Walla Walla, I don't know.
Yeah.
Nez Perce. Do they ever did? Well, they have so few. They get so few in this.
They just haven't even bothered.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not worth the drive for two or one.
All right. So, yeah, I think your idea of working some language in here is good. I think.
Well, I would say talk to Derek, throw this at the Lamprey task group's plate and say, hey, should we get some immortalize some language in there so we have actual directions instead of kind of the, this is what we're kind of doing right now plan. Yeah.
And if they want it printed, it has to be to us by the next FPOM meeting.
Yeah, I don't think we can get that group to get back to us.
Can't get that group to
work. Well, I think Sean Tackley was actually working on some changes. He didn't get them to me, but he had given me an email that he was working on.
I might be able to, but I guess
send him a questionnaire.
Yeah, and I'll talk to Brian. I'll talk to Brian in house and see if because they might
send him a questionnaire and send him
stop
a yes or no, a simple answer. And then, send it back to us right
yes,
away.
Yes, put all fish in gunny sacks. No, don't put the fish in gunny
sacks. You can have several, whatever you want.
I'll check once. Yeah, I'll talk to Brian because they're having a group, tribal lamprey groups meeting next week, so I'll get on their agenda.
Okay, the suggestions I brought up were we don't include any incidental whatsoever mentioned in the fish passage plan. With the lamprey incidental, juvenile, and then the adult, these are all fish that are being trapped, and then you have sturgeon, you got bull trout. You got the pike middle. These are all species of some kind of concern or another that there's no mention whatsoever, any literature on it, that how to handle, what to do with them. And so we're thinking, and what I brought the suggestion up to Ann is a separate appendix or an additional section to the transport section. These are concerns to us because here we are doing some work with especially juvenile and adult lamprey right now, such as transporting and or different. We're actually transporting juvenile lamprey, also incidental. So there should be language in how to handle these fish, I would think.
Barges. Mm-hmm. You mean food?
But what's the point?
I know.
Well, separate. Particularly the adults, it'd be nice to have some consistent language at this point in time. I think the juvenile lamprey is evolving, and as we watch how the males work.
Killer's funny
that maybe another year or so down the line we'll be ready to kind of firm up.
Catfish, take home.
Pike middle, pike middle, pike middle. I actually favor the addition of another appendix just called incidental fish to put it in rather than trying to put it under the transport appendix B.
Walleye. While I put Senator Fredericks.
So it sounds like there's general agreement on this. We'll just have to work on actually finalizing it.
Getting something, that kind of stuff.
So is that it?
Well, that's good. The meeting's over. Done and done.